the original, the one that was sent out, but maybe on some different page. It comes under the section 4, responses to clarity-seeking questions. And then it's, well, on my version, which was the original one that was sent out, it's bullet points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Bullet point 17 under section 4. It's on, well, it's on minus page 8. It's on the new one on 6. Okay.
Yes, I'm told it's on page 6.
Yeah, okay. Clarity was seeked as to whether it passed the regulations. That's what I'm
yes,
talking about.
Yes, page 6, the second last bullet on page 6
yes.
on the review. So what were you saying there?
It doesn't say, it says clarity was seeked, okay, the wrong word, as to whether it passed the regulations are inhibiting rather than exhibiting. What does that mean?
What does that mean, member?
I assume it and obviously I haven't re-listened to the recording, but I presume it was inhibiting, because I think that this was in response to a question that I asked. I think it was whether the regulations were inhibiting the marketability of programs, was what I, to advertisers, you know, because if I recall, the fellow said that because they had to buy these block bookings of shows, it was all putting to marketers who wanted to advertise their products with some other show. So they lost this advertising revenue because of their programming obligations for sports programs. I think it came from that. So, you know, if you can just sort of perhaps add that that I thought, you know, regulations, whether, an answer to whether the regulations were inhibiting the marketability of programs to advertisers. That was then. Would then be, okay, then the following page, it's just some of the language. This would be the paragraph starting, the bullet point starting, the freshly revised shareholders compact, which would come pretty soon after that, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth bullet point after, under the section starting, in response to the above. So it's on page 7. The bullet starts the freshly revised shareholders compact, and if we go to about halfway through it, look for the word Hollywood. Okay, then the sentence starting that, there's also a commitment to reduce numbers. I presume that means costs. And then again, when we refer to numbers again, the board discovered that most of the numbers grew as a result of licensing conditions. I don't know what those numbers are. Numbers of what? Is it costs? Yeah, but just generally the that was just that there were many things on that whole paragraph which didn't really make sense. But I think, you know, that I don't know whether we rewrite them or just accept them as a sort of fuzzy record of the meeting. You can always go to PMG to get an answer.
So do you have another specific one?
No,
I just wanted to mark them.
I think it would take us hours to go through all the stuff that just doesn't really make sense, but you know, we'd need to rewrite the minutes. So I think it's just sort of general overview of what happened, but it's not necessarily a clear document.
Okay.
I'll just leave it. Otherwise we'll be here forever.
Okay.
Let's get on with the day.
Any other thing, member? Nothing. Can I suggest that we'll just go back and revisit and check what might
okay.
be the word. Then we'll come back with the document, with the minutes later. We'll just listen and see, like, your course numbering as you are saying it, but we'll come back with it when we come back in our meeting. Thanks, members. We'll defer the minutes of the 28th when we deal with the other minutes. It means we have dealt with only the 21st one. This one will come back to it later and so on. Can we proceed, members, then to start the OC presentation?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. Let me first start by introducing the team. We have Mr. Farhad Osman, who is the Chief Director for Strategic Planning. Next to him is Mr. Sam Vilagasin, an Acting DDG for Finance, and is also is the Acting CFO. Next to him is Mr. Jabu Khade, the Acting DDG for ICT Infrastructure. He's also the man behind the cyber security and policy framework. And after him is Dr. Harold Vessel, who is the Acting CEO for the East Coast. And last is Mr. Temba Piri, Acting DDG for the PNC. And behind me is Kidiboni Sikwele, who is the Chief Director for HRM. And next to Kidiboni is Mantakele Monama, who is a Minister's PLO. Thank you very much. Maybe just to thank the Chair and members for affording us an opportunity to come back and respond to the questions that were raised. I think what we would do, Chair, because some of the questions were already asked, responded to by the Minister and myself, and I think Farhad had already responded to some of the few questions. We would now allow Sam to take the questions, so we'll deal with the questions in that sequencing, and then I'll follow after them. Sam?
Just hold that to perfect, Honourable Sam.
We didn't hear any apology about the minister.
It's me, I didn't ask the apology, my apology. The apology which we had, we got the apology for the deputy minister. She apologized. She's engaged in a meeting. And also Zebe apologized, but and the minister. Those are the only one we had. Then this morning or later, then we had Mr. Keka apologize. My apology, not to delete the apologies. Perpetu.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm going to deal with the questions and comments that were raised on the budget, the shortfalls, the impact, the implications of the shortfalls. And perhaps we thought before we could explain the impact and the implications of the shortfall, it's important just to put into perspective how the DOC budget has been shaping up over the period. I think, Honorable Chair, we did present a picture, more of a historical picture, starting from 2008-09 up to 2010-11 in terms of the expenditure. We have also put percentages. I think Honorable Members and Honorable Chair would notice that the department spent about 99.9% of the budget. The same trend continued in the next financial year, which was 2009-10. In the financial year 2010-11, there was a bit of a dip there, wherein the department spent 66.7%, but I must indicate the reasons why we found ourselves in this situation. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members will recall that we came to this House at some point to indicate that there was an issue around the review of the standards, the set-top box standards, and therefore the bulk of the budget that was not spent was actually linked to the infrastructure projects, for example, what Centec required to be able to roll out the DTT infrastructure. Also, the money that USASA was required to subsidize the set-top boxes. And therefore, with that decision to review, you could not then, therefore, distribute the subsidies, and therefore you could not roll out the infrastructure. That's why there was that situation. It was not because the department was unable to spend, but it was just mainly around the review. On the issue of the shortage of money, I must indicate that the situation that the department has been sitting with, and since 2008, the department has never had a sufficient budgetary allocation for DTT. Be it the department or the entities. I'll give an example. If you look at the budgetary requirements for set-top box subsidization, Cabinet approved 2.45 billion in 2008. The money that has been allocated so far by National Treasury is only 930 million. So there has been that shortfall. And I must indicate that the department has been making efforts almost year in, year out to try and get money from the fiscus to try and address the shortfall. It's an issue that is still ongoing. If you look at the shortfall on Centech, Centech has also been having this challenge. We tried even last year by June to try and secure additional funding from the Treasury. I think that did not come through. The SABC has always also been sitting in the very same situation, wherein it has put forward the funding request of about 7 billion for DTT, and I think only about 138 million was allocated by National Treasury. And what is even a bit frustrating is the fact that this 138 million is only available in 2013. Meanwhile, the SABC is supposed to be putting the DTT infrastructure this year. These are some of the challenges that I would say they are beyond the control of the department, because as a department we put together motivations, business cases, submit them to Treasury, and we get called to come and explain, but then at the end this funding is not coming through. So it's not as if there has been recklessness on the side of the department. There's always been shortfall and there's always been an effort to try and get this funding to come forward. Even this year, when the funding window opens, the department will still be proceeding to submit the application to secure additional funding from Treasury for the SABC, for Centech, as well as for the set-top box subsidies. And I must indicate also to the committee that one of the things that we have done recently was to review the costing of the set-top boxes, which also then came a little with increased figures, given the fact that we have included things like outdoor antennas, indoor antennas, and of course some of the section of the population will be requiring some assistance. We will also be approaching the Treasury to try and assist on those. So in a nutshell, in as far as the budgets are concerned, that is actually the situation. I think there was a question also raised by Honorable Stein around the consultancy fees. I must indicate that there has been a call by National Treasury to all the departments to trim on the use of consultancies, and the Department of Communications has also been included in that. I must also indicate to the committee that one of the reasons why there might have been perhaps a perception before that there was an increase in the use of consultants. Of course, there was a time when the department had a capacity problem, but I must indicate that at this point in time, the use of consultants has been reduced going forward, because the process of filling in vacancies has commenced, and therefore we, as also as a department, we do discourage the use of consultants where we are able to use internal capacity to address service delivery issues. There was a further point raised by Honorable Killian on the need that entities must be evaluated on a quarterly basis to make sure that the department has a grip. I think we do note this point, and I think Minister did indicate that there are bilateral meetings that are continuing to happen, but we do not wait for bilateral meetings. When there are issues, they are addressed on the spot, because we have realized that the minute you would wait, that you would address issues only when there are bilateral meetings between the entities and the minister, it becomes a problem, because you are unable to deal with the issues head on as they come. There was a concern, I think, also raised by Honorable Greg around the additional funding. I think I have touched on this one, but of course, I think the issue was more to say what will be the impact. I must indicate to the committee that if this funding is not going to come through, there's going to be a problem, because the deadlines are there. And of course, other players will be ahead of the SABC in particular. And of course, SABC would not be in a position to move with the set deadlines, which would be really an unfortunate situation to experience as a country. So this funding becomes very critical. And I think Honorable Sheen also did raise an issue around that, why we're not getting money and so on. I think I must indicate that it's not because the cases that we are putting forward are not solid. I think the impression that we got, or the sense that we got, or the sense that we are getting when we are interacting with the National Treasury on this issue of money, is the sense that there are other competing priorities. There is a need to build roads, there's a need for health, this and that. So perhaps maybe communication is not elevated up to a level where it's also seen as a critical component going forward. I think most of the issues are related to the budget that I've already spoken to. The consultancy fee has been addressed. The other issue that was raised by Honorable Kikana was the issue around post-bank, to say what is the situation, why are we amending the post, why are we introducing the post office amendment bill. I think the issue here is to make sure that, before I go into the reasons for amendment, this is purely a technical amendment, because there has been an issue lately which found itself in court, and there was a judgment made in that regard. Because under the current Act, spouses of the employees working in the post office can only access their spouse pension when they have resigned or died. And therefore, the purpose of this amendment is to make sure that this situation is addressed. So this one is purely a technical amendment. It's not really meant to introduce any other thing. I think those would be the responses from my side. Thank you, Chair.
And I wanted the ATM for posting in the chief's call. We have not responded to the chief's call. Then I'll come back to members, just proceed and finish everything. Otherwise, they won't finish to respond. You'll come back after they finish.
Honorable Chair, perhaps to respond to the Post Bank being available in the crawl, I must indicate to the committee that the Post Bank continues to provide financial services through the postal network infrastructure. Since the enactment of the Post Bank Act in December 2010, a significant amount of work has been done to establish the Post Bank as a subsidiary of Post Office. Currently, the department, working together with SAPO, we are in the process of putting the board of Post Bank in place. And once the board is in place, the Post Bank will then be able to launch an application with the Register of Banks. So, Chair, this matter is receiving attention. I can guarantee, Chair, that maybe at some point this network would also find itself in the chief's crop.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. I'll try and address a number of questions that were raised. One was with regards to the Dinaridi School, SKA, and cybersecurity. Now, as the Honorable Members will recall, that we had envisaged to connect 500 Dinaridi schools. Now, out of that plan, we connected 375. 125 schools were outstanding. Now, what we have done going forward is that we have integrated 125 schools into the 1,650 school connectivity program. So going forward, we'll talk less about the Dinaridi schools, but more about the school connectivity program. And then we can provide the exact details of where those 125 Dinaridi schools are in the various provinces. With regards to the SKA, I think we have committed to work with the Department of Science and Technology in ensuring that the Department of Science and Technology does meet all the requirements in terms of the SK project. Now, one of the requirements of this project is that, especially where it will be located in the Northern Cape, is that it must have minimal or lowest radio activity. There shouldn't be any interference at all. And that would impact on some of the communication infrastructure that is being provided in that particular area. So what has happened is that the minister has issued a policy directive in 2010 to ICASA to ensure that appropriate regulatory measures are in place to facilitate this project. But over and above that, the department, CENTEC, and DST are working together to identify what interventions will be undertaken to minimize that effect. But again, the cost of that will be borne by the Department of Science and Technology. With regards to cybersecurity, I think the honorable members will recall that probably it was 2009, I think, 8, we committed to developing a cybersecurity policy. And that was consistent with some of the decisions that were taken at the ITU, whether it's the World Telecommunications Standards Body or World Telecommunications Development Committee, and also informed by the ITU Global Cybersecurity Agenda. So we developed a cybersecurity policy specifically focusing on ICT matters. And that policy process was concluded, and we were in the process of engaging the various stakeholders within government. Given the direct impact of this on the work of the JCPS cluster, we requested to engage the JCPS cluster, after which a decision was taken within the JCPS cluster to say the policy as it stands focuses mainly on ICT matters. Can we broaden it to cover all the work of the JCPS cluster? So the following year, we spent expanding on the policy document. In the process, it changed from being a cybersecurity policy to a cybersecurity policy framework. And why cybersecurity policy framework? Because we felt that to have a policy would require a lot of time. So what we did, we identified areas of intervention and said we need to pronounce on these areas of intervention, whether through policies or strategies. So we created a framework that identified a whole range of issues that needs to be addressed. For example, we felt that there was a need to have a policy come strategy on the protection of critical information infrastructure. You will recall, colleagues, that the ECT provides for the protection of critical databases. That was done in 2002. Today, things have changed. People are talking about the protection of critical information infrastructure. So we need to expand that to say we need to protect critical information infrastructure. So that is one area this policy identifies for intervention. But another issue that came up was, cybersecurity needs to address issues of cybercrime within the cluster. So there's going to be a cybercrime policy come strategies, which the police are spearheading. But again, from a national security perspective, to say cybersecurity does impact on national security. What is it that we need to do? So areas were identified for intervention in that regard. So basically, the policy, as it says now, it addresses issues of national security, issues of cybercrime, issues of building confidence and trust in the secure use of ICT. And that is where the department fits in. So our focus is mainly on building trust and confidence in the secure use of ICT. Thank you much.
Maybe some other time we'll call you so that you come and talk to us. So that we talk the same language. Partly you are talking the English for George, but it's Greek, some of the things. But we'll have more time just to focus on that, so that we are all on board. DG?
Chairperson, good morning, honorable members, honorable Chairperson. I will address a few questions here. The first one related to how we measure job creation, and here we want to address ourselves to the fact that although Statistics South Africa conducts labor surveys regularly, the presidency has also given us a monitoring tool which we use to monitor job creation. And in this case, our targets is our SOEs, SABC, whose target for job creation is to include content development, USASA, as well as NEMISA, where in they create enabling environment for indirect job creation. But you also recall that the pact which was signed in July on job creation by the private sector, we had no mechanism on how we could monitor that. So part of the forum that has been established by the Honorable Minister is also meant to ensure that we can get information so that we can be able to report to the executive on a regular basis through our cluster system. And this is done every quarter. The other question relating to community radio stations, I think the department has a clear understanding that the community radio program has multifaceted challenges, amongst which relates to the sustainability of these community radio stations to sustain themselves. Part of the challenges is that, the signal distribution costs are high for community radio stations. There are those who are able to afford this, but by and large, most of them can't. The department continues to provide and support these community radio stations through the distribution of the radio infrastructure to enable them to broadcast their services. In this case, Chairperson, we want to indicate that we had signed an agreement with CENTEC to support a group of community radio stations which were financially strained to be able to meet their financial needs with regard to signal distribution. And that was a temporary measure. We will also sought to set aside funding, just like we have funding for content production in relation to community radio, set aside funding to see if we could be able to support these community radio stations going forward. There was also an issue relating to how will the set-top box distribution happen? And indeed, members were noting that probably the plans are not in place. I just need to flag here, Chair, that the department has a committee of all stakeholders who are involved in the digital migration process. We meet bi-weekly to monitor this. Then there's a committee of SOEs of the department who are impacted by the program. In this, USASA, SABC, as well as CENTEC and the post office. The post office has been identified as the key point of distribution between the set-top boxes themselves. We understand that with the funding that will be made available, whose USASA is responsible for ensuring that the subsidies can be distributed, the exchange point with the customers is actually identified to be the South African Post Office. The reason for this is because of its wide infrastructure reach, particularly in rural areas. So I could, in fact, indicate here, Chair, that the work on the making sure that the department is able to meet its timeline to launch and to make sure that the set-top boxes are available out there. The department is hard at work together with the sector as a whole, including manufacturers who are looking at this as an opportunity for their businesses. Again, Chair, I'll also look at the issue around rural development and how we're cooperating with the Rural Development Department. Minister had made some remarks on this, but suffice to say that the delivery agreement, which is covering Outcome 7, which deals with rural development, the DOC, through the minister, is a signatory to that. In essence, we have commitments which we have made, which binds us and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to work together. We're in the process of also formalizing this through a MOU. Necessarily, we've always been having a program which we co-implement with the Department of Rural Development. And this work is ongoing. For us, we have identified amongst the areas wherein, for instance, low-power transmitters will be distributed or will be established, and the ICT centers will be established through our cooperating SOEs or agencies. This is also aimed to advance the same goal of rural development, Chairperson. Chair, I'll rest there. Thank you.
Chair, there's just one matter that we wanted to deal with. We omitted last in the previous round of responses. I think the matter, Chair, deals with the program structure change. There was a question raised around the what's going to happen to the programs. I think PNC in particular was mentioned, and this was mentioned by Honorable Steyn, in view that the budget remains the same. I think what's happening here is that the department recently started undertaking the organizational review process, which brought to the fore the new organizational structure, which was then taken to DPSA for approval and therefore was then subsequently presented to National Treasury for approval as well. What Treasury did indicate was that the department will not be allocated any additional budget on the personnel. However, the implementation of the new structure can continue with the current allocation to make sure that the department is able to fill in the critical positions. But because the current budget budgetary allocation is against the old programs, which also includes the PNC, this will not change in the coming financial year. However, in 2013, the program structure changes are going to be affected, and therefore the name PNC will disappear from the radar because there is a new name that will then be put to the fore. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Just to touch quickly on a question that was raised, a concern regarding the entities who have not fared too well on the AG Smart Criteria test. And what is the DOC doing about it? I think that, as you recall, we indicated that during the development of the DOC plan, we engaged with the National Treasury quite closely, who actually facilitate our sessions as well to ensure the technical correctness. And having learned from this, we offered assistance to entities as and when they required it or whoever requested it. And we actually did provide such assistance to USASA. As you see, there's a drastic increase in their ratings with regard to the SMART criteria. The DOC facilitated the USASA strategic planning workshop, and as well as wherever entities required assistance when needed, we provide. Like ICASA also requested some assistance, but seemingly it was a bit late considering that their rating year. But we did provide copies of our strat plan and the framework, as well as assisted with their the way they portray their risk assessment and so forth. But going forward, I think more over and above ensuring there's alignment between the plans, which we do through integrated planning, we will then also provide relevant assistance with regard to ensuring that the SMART principles and SMART criteria is met, and also put them in touch with relevant officials on Treasury from TAO if need be to do some sort of training going forward as well. Thanks.
Chairperson, there is another question that we have not responded to with regard to the 74% Centex signal distribution coverage. What I think we would do, Chairperson, we'll provide the details of the coverage to the committee. But I think in a nutshell, that covers the questions that were raised. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
I'll come to members. DG, the last one which you are dealing with, can you give us in two ways? There is this thing you call, you know the terminology yourself, I don't know. You call it the coverage per in terms of population and geographical coverage. Because you see, we've got a problem here in this country. The population is concentrated in certain provinces. To say 74% or 80% sometimes still leaves out those who have been historically disadvantaged because they're not part of where the population is. So if we can get it into two, what does whatever 74% population coverage mean in geographical coverage? Because so that we are clear around that. Because sometimes you hear the percentage high, but in reality, when you go to Mbuzini, in Mpumalanga, they still can have SABC and the other things and so on. So I think that was just my addition around the last issue. I will take members to make follow-up in your questions. I will note them. Velma, Shin, Kilen, Mtambi, Say, anyone left? But look, members, before I give you the opportunity, DG, I just want to check. I tried to went through the strategic plan last year and the current one and so on. Of course, there are certain issues which one can raise, but a very, very issue which may probably you'll help to respond at is that what must come first? If you listen what the minister was saying, we are trying to put this foundation so that we are able to move forward. But we don't have the foundation. We are trying to put the foundation then so that we move forward and so on. If you look at the, at the strategic plan, it's talking about developing a national ICT policy. But on the same quarters, whilst we are still busy with that, you are amending legislation. What informs the amendment of the legislation whilst we have not finished the national ICT policy? What I suppose, what needs to happen that all our focus and energy should be at the national ICT policy. That policy will inform us what type of institution we need to support it. But what I'm seeing now is that you've got a whole range of your ICASA ECA amendments, but you are still reviewing the national ICT policy. How do you realign that? What will be informing this current amendment? What will be the outcome of the national ICT policy? Because I think we need just to get the priority straight, what comes first. We don't want to come and deal with the ICASA amendment technical issues here. We want to deal with the far-reaching amendments which will change ICASA to be able to create the environment which you say on the strategic plan one, so that it enables to. So if I can be clarified around that, because I think when you come back, we will be able to follow up what we are doing, because I just can't understand how to amend policies in the first, dealing with amendment of legislation in the first quarter, so what is on the same time, we are dealing with a national ICT policy which must inform, I suppose, the institution which must support it, and then you can come, what is ICASA, what is USASA, and so on and so on. That would be my question, but I'll take the members on their order. Velma?
The response regarding the schools, and you said the Naledi schools. If you look at the strat plans, these 1,600 schools, are those schools now separate to the Naledi schools, or are they new schools that have been identified? Just give me clarity on that, please. And I did mention that the connectivity is a problem. So I just want to know the department, once you set up these infrastructures at the school, are you going to continue supporting them with connectivity, paying the monthly bills and so forth? Secondly, the 1,000 SMEs, are they assisted with the distributions of the set-top boxes? I'd like to know who is going to manufacture these set-top boxes. Is it locally manufactured? Where that is the answer I'm seeking, to find out whether it's locally manufactured. When you also want to know when these SMEs that are going to distribute these set-top boxes, are they local SMEs? That is all I want to know. Then my third question is in the stat plan, page 62 and 61. There's a question I'd want to pose quickly. Because you keep mentioning that some of the funding is mainly used for compensation of employers and related to goods and services. And it seems like it's ongoing compensation is being compensation like what? Just give me goods and services what? Just explain that a little bit for me in detail on page 61. And then on page 57, disabilities. You keep mentioning implementation plan. What are you doing? What is the implementation plan? Is it actually being done? What is the activity around that implementation plan? What is the activity that you actually implemented? Just give me some idea, please. Thanks.
Honorable Sin. Thank you, Chair. I'll just concentrate on two issues. The first of which is the schools, the Dinner Lady schools. The question I asked on Tuesday was, to what are the Dinner Lady schools connected? There was a plan to have a national network that these schools were connected to. Has that been abandoned? Are these now just your ordinary ADSL connection, like your ordinary household connection to telecom lines? What are the schools connected to? How many devices are connected? I want to know, because you just say they're connected. To what are they connected? There's obviously a whole huge issue that needs to be explored further on the Dinner Lady schools, but obviously I assume that the network, the national broadband network that the schools were originally going to be connected to, has been abandoned. If it hasn't, then I'm pleased to say that that's what they're connected to. Then we need to ask her to install the network. But are they just now connected to your ordinary telecom line through ADSL or whatever? I'd please like the details on that. Then obviously there's a huge disparity between what the department wants to do and what Treasury will give you the money to do. And I think we did ask last week as to why Treasury says that you can't have a lot of this money, obviously because there's only a limited amount of money in the pot. But on Wednesday we had a presentation by Minister Manuel on the National Development Plan, and he said everybody's always asking for more money, but none of us are actually ever saying what we are going to dispense within our programs to make sure that we have money to deal with what are the critical things. So I'm not going to ask the department. You've been given a limited amount of money by the Treasury. What in your programs can you see should be dispensed with in order to focus on the essential rollouts that need to happen? And those essential rollouts are DTV and broadband. Those are the critical things that we need to get out to actually make this economy fly. And what else in your program can you put on the back burner or cut out altogether to make sure that you can actually put in the critical infrastructure that's needed for the rollout of ICT in South Africa? Thank you.
Keelan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to just come back to some introductory remarks that were made, and that is just to say there's too much fuzziness from our perspective. Too many issues that are raised, and there's not a lot of focus. So I want to link my introduction to what Honorable Shin has said. It seems that the department is unable to prioritize, to say in the next year we want to achieve 5 critical goals. And by hook or crook, we will achieve it. Well, I hope not by crook. But the fact is, this is what we want to achieve, and this is the deadline that we're setting for ourselves. And this is the money that we've allocated for this specific program. So I still want to say that in terms of what we had before us last year, I failed to see the critical focus in this department. And I want to say that because in addition to what the Honorable Shin has said by digital, the need for digital migration and to push that issue, the agencies and their performance is directed by this department. So clearly the turnaround strategy at those institutions are equally important. And I fail to regard it as only a policy matter, although I want to come back to the issue of policy. It's not only, there is already adequate measures in place to ensure that those agencies actually focus on their core business, that they function in accordance with the PFMA, that they are held accountable, etc. There's no excuse. The PFMA is in place. The time has now come for consequence for people in the public service. So I really want to say that there is no focus. But secondly, I want to say that it seems that the policy program that was largely the program that largely affected the under expenditure was in fact ICT policy development. Now, I know we had some responses to that specific question, but that is why I fail to see the urgency with the development of a green and a white paper process. Now, I want to align myself to what the chairperson said. Are we going to be confronted with some adjustments, some technical adjustments to some of these legislation, or are we going to be confronted with a complete new approach? If we look at part of the problem that this department is facing, and let's be honest about it, as a commissar, there was an unintended outcome of bringing together the telecommunications authority and the broadcasting authority under one group of ICASA, Independent Communications Authority. The broadcasting authority was meant to be protected by the Constitution Chapter 9 institution. But when it was combined, the impact of an independent regulator that is also, to a certain extent, developing policy, which may not necessarily comply with what government intends to do, which may not necessarily follow government priorities, is creating a conundrum for this department. Why is it that we don't hear from the department? This is a problem. So you cannot only adjust. You cannot create performance targets and evaluation program for the ICASA counselors without addressing this critical issue. Whereas the department is telling South Africa it's the primary department responsible for ICT rollout, etc., where you want to achieve, and the minister meets with the private sector, etc., etc., ICASA is on another tangent. They have other priorities, etc., and policies that they feel that they are working according. And I understand that you are concerned that you cannot really interfere because then it becomes a problem. But that is a critical problem that this department should put on the table. Why don't you put it on the table? Why don't you say, this is an unintended outcome of the ICASA Act. It should never have happened, and we need to address this. But that is why I argue that it cannot only be adjustments to the Electronic Communications Act. It needs to be a complete review of regulating this entire industry and the implications. So I really want to say that is a focus. It must be a focus, and there must be urgency. Secondly, it's good and well to hear from the department that you aim to complete to be ready for the digital cutoff date. But we need to see milestones so that we can measure where we are. As a committee, we must be absolutely confident that this is what you want to achieve by then, and that we can monitor that. Now, this whole program that was placed before us, unfortunately, Chairperson, I don't see such. I see quarterly targets, but vague, very vague. It's not specific. So how do we oversee all of this, the strategic rollout? And now I want to just get to a few specifics. On page 14. At the top, you say your goal statement is enable the maximization of investment in the ICT sector and create new competitive business opportunities for the growth. Chairperson, it is on the strategic plan. It is in relation to competitiveness and economic growth of the ICT industry. And I maintain this is an important one because what I've said on Tuesday, I still maintain, and that is that this sector can create a lot of jobs. Not in the department, not in the shelter of the department, but through its activities in this industry. And we must really optimize this opportunity. Now, I'm asking, how are you going to maximize investment in the ICT sector if you are not primarily responsible for certain important issues such as you know, your role in oversight role over ICASA does not allow you to interfere. ICASA is going to do the spectrum rollout. But the rollout of broadband that they're also involved in, yes, you've created a policy development, but their attitude and their approach towards maximum broadband rollout is different from what the department is, from what I understand. So how will you be able to do this if you don't have complete control over it? And then I want to come to the what is this section called? The annual performance plan, the financial year 2012-2013. Jefferson, I just feel if we look at the department, I have seen that we've grown a department, but I want to know, are we growing a bigger bureaucracy or are we growing capacity in the department? If we look at the compensation of employees, and Honorable Vilma has mentioned that, if we look at the compensation of employees, if we go back 5 years, we have almost doubled, and we will double in the next year or two. We will double the compensation of employees. But more than that, I want to know specifically, there's a section which refers to bursaries employees. And that has grown significantly from 2008, 2009 to this year. What are the criteria that are used? And what measures are in place to make sure that if people have the opportunity, is it for members of the department? Is it for their families? What are the benefits that the department will derive from this further education and training of staff members? And to what extent do you link them into permanent contracts so that you make sure that they work back? Because the state, if it invests in skills development of its public servants, then it must make sure that we're not training for the private sector, Jefferson. And I want to know what measures are in place to make sure that we actually also derive the benefits from the investment in further studies. Which brings me to, okay, we've seen that there was a decline. First of all, sorry, let me just go up to page 32. Mention was already made about the consultants, the top line. Then there's a line, fleet services, including government motor transport. Can we get a better understanding of what that is for? If you look at this, is it for management? Is it what are these fleet services for? Can you please explain that further? Also, it seems that there was a decline in travel and subsistence, which is one of the lines further down. How did you manage that? If the department is growing on the one side, is it because the fleet services are bigger now or will expand? What is the balance or the relevance between the two? And then on page 33, Chairperson, there's a building and other fixed structures. What is this? Because this is the first time that a budget allocation has been made for this, and it is growing quite significantly over this medium-term expenditure framework. Can you please explain that? Thank you, Chair. Chair, with that, I just wanted to refer to page 34, where I started off by saying the ICT policy development and ICT enterprise development programs is where there was reduced expenditure, and that is my concern, that we don't have a repeat of that, that this year, even if you present a strategic plan that you say page X, Y, and Z will be our focus for this year, and we will prioritize those, and we will deliver on that. And as for the rest, whatever we get right, we will do it. But moreover, I want to know what is the headcount of the department and how it is increasing, how it has increased over the past 3 years, and to what extent has this increase been in the top management, or has it been in the actual people who are executing some of the critical functions of this department? Thank you, Chair.
Mthambi.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with page 12 of the presentation. This is about the building blocks for ICT framework. You'll agree with me that in the State of the Nation address, the President made mention of national legislation for broadband. Also, the Minister, simply in one of her speeches, she made mention of the strategy for broadband. And then, fitted as we are, the National Planning Commission, in particular, has criticized this country's lack of ICT framework. I want to know how does the department intend harmonizing this and the many other efforts in developing a policy framework. Secondly, I would like to know what will be the elements of the broadband legislation and what are the timeline and visits. I'm raising it also based in line with what the chairperson has indicated on page 12 of your strategic plan. You've made listings of your planned policy initiative to say, when you respond, I think you need to link it with the review of your policy. Page 19 of the strike plan, it's goal item number 4. The role of SOEs. I've seen also in your presentation that you've made mention explicitly with regard to Centec and Infraco extending universal access. But my question, I'd like to know what is the DOC's view on the role of other entities such as CETA and Telkom? Has the DOC undertaken necessary diagnostic on the current and future capabilities of these entities? What is DOC's view on the other public ICT initiatives at local, provincial, and the national levels of government? Has the DOC undertaken any diagnostic on the current and future capabilities of these initiatives? Which of these initiatives or entities represent South Africa's national champion or champions? The last question, Chairperson, is with regard to page 11 of the presentation. You will recall that in the State of the Nation of Address, the President had made jobs and service delivery key goals for 2012. So my question with regard to the flagship program on job creation, the strategic plan is silent. I want to know what are the specific commitments of the DOC. Is the DOC able to make with regard to job creation? I think we need to be specific. Secondly, I want to see the specific commitments which the DOC can make towards delivery in the job deep rural areas, because the documents, I can't see anything there.
Thank you. Honorable Stein will be next, but before Honorable Stein, there was a response on the Naledi schools. You see, DG, this document is from Treasury. It's what has been submitted to Parliament. In this document, you said we have finalized all the 500 Naledi schools and are connected here. Page 594. All 500 Naledi schools have been finalized and they are all connected. The response yet now is saying the 125 will be passed on to 1,650. Can you just deal with that matter within yourself? Then so that will come back to us, because this is the official document to National Treasury. You said 500 schools have been connected and they are up and running. And we want to see them during the oversight up and running, the 500 schools. But now the response, 125, is being passed on to the 1,250. Can someone clarify? These two information is not the same. Honorable Stein?
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, just my apologies. I had to step out to collect some documents. But when I came in, the chief financial officer was answering a question related to the finances. And I think it was specifically related to the money that was requested and that was not approved. Now, Chair, I want to link this to the question asked by the Honourable Killian in terms of very specific projects. Now, as you are aware, Chairperson, we are in a position as a portfolio committee to make amendments to the budget in terms of either shifting money around and perhaps even motivating for additional money. Now, when we look at the funding request that the department gave us, the unfortunate thing with this is that it doesn't give us any idea for which programs this money has been requested. And therefore, we can't apply our minds and try and assist the department if necessary, if there are critical projects, as has been identified by my colleagues, that are not funded and that should be funded. The Honourable Shin also indicated that the department should perhaps identify projects, because they do have a range of projects, but there doesn't seem to be any priority over there. That because all the funds were not approved, that they may have to sacrifice something for something that is of a higher priority. So we don't have a sense of that, what the money is being asked for. And perhaps I'd like to, through you, Chairperson, request that we get a full list of programs specifically related to the what I want to call unfunded mandates, because this, we are being told that the funds have not been allocated. It's got to be linked an amount to a program so that we know what we can expect. The end result is going to be, in a year's time, the department is going to sit before us and say, well, you know, we didn't reach this target because we didn't have the funds. My response to them now, not a year later from now, is if you don't have the funds for a particular program, then don't put it down as a target. Alternatively, if it's a priority, we need to talk about it so we can see how we can assist to maybe shift funds around. That was the first thing, Chairperson. Then just a comment on a response regarding to the SOEs and their plans not complying with the SMART principles. The word that stood out in the response was when requested by an SOE. Now, I want to put it to the department that they shouldn't wait for an SOE to request assistance. They exercise oversight over them just as much as we're supposed to. And it should be incumbent upon the department to, in fact, check with the SOEs when they put their strat plans together. I would have thought that there is cooperation between them, because ultimately the SOE strat plans must fit into the department's overall strat plan. They're the implementers. So quite honestly, my response is really don't wait for a request, because, you know, often people will not ask because they don't think that they need help. You need to be proactive as far as that is concerned, and your results will probably improve. Then, Chairperson, I did ask a question, and it hasn't been answered, I believe, but the Honourable Killian extensively asked on it. I referred earlier last week to the huge increases, and I'm not looking at 2008-09 and 2010-11. I'm simply looking at 2010-11 and 2011-12. And I did refer in a number of instances to massive increases, up to 500-700%. I also did indicate that perhaps we'll get an opportunity when we do the annual report. But I want to just add on to the questions asked by my two colleagues in relation to that. I cannot understand for the life of me, Chairperson, why, in addition to the compensation and bursaries and things like that, that items like, for example, catering have gone up. And again, I refer to 2010-11 and 2011-12, and I'm referring to page 31, for example. You know, from 1.5 to 2.5. That's quite a substantial increase. And I'm just going to run through a few of them just to indicate to you what I'm talking about, Chair. The one thing that I'm very concerned about, and I think perhaps I'm speaking on behalf of the committee, because we're always very wary of the use of consultants. And in this particular one, and that's on page 32, where contractors went up from 4.4 million to 16.7 million from 2010-11 to 2011-12. Now, considering that there were two very important policy programs, and that was your ICT policy development and the enterprise development programs, that in fact wasn't, that there was an under expenditure on those. I'd like to know what this huge increase in agency and support outsourced services was spent on. The agency and support went from 1.6 million to 27.4 million over that period. Then just one or two more that I'd like to highlight, just to indicate the problem that I have, Chairperson, is, and I'm not going to touch on compensation or training, but rather a few of the other line items, just to get my point across. Again, on page 59, and maybe from a small base, but your consultants and professional services went from 64,000 to 555. Now, if you look at it in isolation, it's not a large amount, but if you look at it, the increase from the base amount, then it is, in fact, quite a large amount, Chairperson. There are one or two more that I want to just highlight, if you'll just bear with me. And on page, for example, page 78, and these are line items I must emphasize. You know, if you look again at catering departmental activities, went from 218 to 1037. In the bigger scheme of things, not a large amount, but if you look at the percentage increase, then it certainly is. Travel and subsistence on 79, doubled from 5219 to 10065. And so I can carry on and on and on, Chairperson. So perhaps a general answer, and then we'll have an opportunity with the annual report to sort of dig deeper into that. And then, again, I also want to align myself with a request by the Honourable Killian in terms of the DTT rollout targets and the budgets to that. And I'll tell you why I'm asking for this, Chair. We're going to adopt the SOE report later today. In that report, and I wasn't part of it, unfortunately, but in that report, very specific mention is made by the committee that there is a budget of 439 million, I think it is, for the migration. We have heard from the SABC, for example, if they continue with that they will have a shortfall in 2013-14 of just over 800 million. So I'm getting these different figures, and I can't put my finger on exactly what it's going to cost, how much we've spent already, what the budget is that's needed to, in fact, successfully roll this out. So I want to very strongly align myself with the Honourable Killian when she asked for a report on it, where we are, what the milestones are, but budgets need to be linked to the different milestones. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Stein. Honourable Schneeman.
Thanks, Chair. Just a couple of points I wanted to raise. The first issue relates to the reply that I heard on my question I'd asked last week on the issue of job creation. And I've been partly covered in some ways by some of the committee members. But I must apologize, I had the same problem as Honourable Stein. I left my documents in my office. I had to run out as well. So I don't know if there was an earlier response to job creation, but the response that I heard was very, very, very weak. And I really think that, part of the reason why you have a strategic plan is to tell you what's actually going to happen. Now, on the issue of job creation, I think a little bit more, I think actually a lot more work needs to be done on this. Job creation is one of the imperatives of government. In fact, last year was the year of job creation. Now, I would have thought that continues. It wasn't just a once-off event. It's a crucial, crucial area in our country. But the strat plan doesn't tell me a thing. And the answer I've been given here doesn't tell me a thing. To put it mildly. And I think the department must go back on this. When we talk about job creation, we need to be told specific areas where you intend to create jobs through your budget and through the activities of the department and the various entities. What are these projects? Where are these projects based? How many jobs do we intend to create per quarter? Otherwise, when the annual report comes out, we'll just all clap hands and say, yes, jobs were created. But where these were created, we have no idea. And so I'm really making an appeal that I think the department must go back and work on this and come back to us. because I can't accept the reply that was given earlier, that it'll be looked at and they're working on it, etc. Doesn't go down with me. The second area I want to say is that the area of these set-top boxes. When I was in the committee briefly, going back to 2008, 2009, this was being spoken about. And I remember at that stage, I even remember a committee meeting.
I didn't know that you were ever in this committee.
Yes, I was. And I remember at that stage, they even brought a box and showed us. If I'm not mistaken, it was white in color. That's what I remember about it. But what I'm trying to say is that going back now, you know, 4 or 5 years, this thing was priority then. And I remember at that stage it was about to be rolled out. And now, a few years later, we're still saying it's about to be rolled out. And I realize and I understand that there are some issues that are at hand in terms of local production, who produces these, etc. But I think the point that I'm just raising is that you can't be continuing all the time to say it's about to be rolled out. And I thought I should illustrate that point, that I think there needs to be a lot more clarity on, and we need to reach some finality on that. The last point I want to raise, Chair, is that last week I did raise the question about the funding and the fact that there's a significant shortfall of funds provided that have been requested for in terms of the various entities, SABC and others. But the response, part of the response that was given here as possibly a reason for not all these funds being provided was that perhaps the Department of Communications is not as high on the radar screen as some of the other more important departments and aspects of what government needs to do. And the question I then have to ask is why? Why? Is it a failure on behalf of the department to communicate its needs properly? Or is it a fact that perhaps Treasury doesn't understand what communications is all about? But I don't think it's correct. I don't think it's correct to come here and tell us that, well, it could be that because it's not as high on the radar screen. I think the buck stops at the department. Surely the department should be really motivating. So I'm just saying that that part of the response, I don't think it just doesn't go down very well with me. I mean, I really think that if these things, these areas are imperative, I think the department has to relook at what are they going to do then to make sure that communications is at the level on the radar screen that it should be. I understand that everybody is asking for money, so we understand that. But I do think then that the department has to relook at how are they presenting the requirements of the department. How are they presenting this when they actually ask for funds? You can't come here and tell us that it's not as high on the radar screen as others, and maybe the priorities are not seen to be priorities. So those are the points I wanted to raise. Yeah, but I want to just say again, I think it doesn't help for the department to sit here now and try and answer us on the issue of job creation. I think they must go back and rework this, and are going to have to come back to us with some real tangible figures and as to what they're going to do so that we can effectively monitor and oversee that. Thanks.
Seven.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Seven.
I was coming to that. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Firstly, my apologies, Chair, for being late. And one of the disadvantages of being late is that you might ask things that have been already asked. So, Chair, on that one, I'm on your mess.
Believe me, no one asked about not to have children. Go ahead.
No, Chair. My first issue, Chair, is regarding the challenges of the shortfall of the budget itself. If you remember, last week we said maybe Treasury must be engaged. How will they best assist
or even the reasons that were given by the minister, not even last week, on Tuesday, they were not even satisfactory, because what we wanted to understand, what are the real issues, what is the problem, why they were not given what they wanted. So I'm asking this chair, maybe already between now and Tuesday there has been that engagement. Maybe we can get a better clarity on that without repeating the same question. But again, on the budget, chair, my concern is around the spending patterns of DOC and the requisitions, because mostly they spend more on administration and they request more on administration. Why is it like that? Because if you look at the important projects like ICT enterprise development, ICT infrastructure development, is more or less than the administration. Why is it like that? Maybe coupling it to the question of Honorable Killen regarding your staff complement, maybe it will also assist going forward in responding to that. Secondly, Chair, is the issue of the set-top boxes. Without repeating what the Honorable Grant has said, I think in this committee, we have continuously said it's not clear what exactly is going to happen regarding the set-top boxes in terms of the beneficiaries. I remember the last presentation, I think it was from USASA, it was said SABC will use something from the SABC, but with that we have the indigenous policy and we have the municipalities, we have what councillors, them have also brought on board. So the strategy regarding the beneficiaries and the distribution of set-top boxes, I don't think even here today we are clarified regarding that. And Chair, in regarding the strategic plan of DOC, I just want to be honest, Chairperson. If you take, that's why I don't even bother myself as much comment about it, because you could see it's cut and paste. If you take the last financial year and this financial year, cut and paste, even some sentences you have even forgot to cut. You have cut some piece there, then the other, you could consider there's no connection between the two. That it does not even happen again. If we have people in the department, they must do their work thoroughly. They must take assurance. This cut and pasting doesn't assist at all. That is why most of the issues are not even responded to correctly. Chair, regarding the 1,650 schools and the 100 ICT centers by USASA, as reported by DOC, my concern there is around the maintenance, because we've been doing around as the committee during our oversight. There's a serious challenge regarding the maintenance in all those schools. Some schools is even no fee schools. How will they then be able to manage? Maybe the kind of memorandum of understanding you find with departments or whatever partnership that you do, you must also take that into consideration. Lastly, Chair, it's in regard to the support by DOC to community radio stations. Just for interest sake, why did you decide to give the print media outside? Because our oversight report will tell you that is there. We also have a serious challenge in terms of support. And what about the existing ones? Because we might have radio stations already in existence that will still need the support of DOC. I can give you an example of the one in, what is it, most of the one in the Blue, you're not in Blue. There was this one in Limpopo, Honorable Chairperson, if you remember, there was a disaster there. We even said maybe DOC must be engaged to assist. So I agree you must support the new ones, but you must also try to do something regarding the already existing ones. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Trevor. I've taken all the hands. Members, you must help me. DOC also must help on this one. The question which has been asked, You can give the answers probably, but there will be follow-ups, probably. And I'm looking at the time now, it's half past 10. We should be done at 11 and start USASA and so on. Now, I'll give you probably 15 minutes or so to try and respond so that you will come back and agree how to move forward to deal with certain issues which might be outstanding and so on. So that we start in time the other activity of USASA teaching.
That's fine, Chairperson. We'll do that in the next 15 minutes. I will answer the question that was raised by Honorable Mutambi and also the one that was raised by yourself, Chairperson, and supported by Honorable Kenyu. The question raised by Honorable Mutambi is actually very fundamental if we are actually going to be winning or be successful with regard to the rollout of broadband, because one of the challenges that we have is the institutional arrangement. For example, the whole shareholding that we have as government in Telkom. You've got Infraco, you've got CETA with similar, CETA with similar mandate. Then you've got CETA, and the three entities are reporting to the two different departments or ministries. That is your Department of Communications with the CENTEC, Public Enterprise, and then which is Infraco, and then Public Administration with CETA. Now, one of the initiatives that we are taking, we will be undertaking this year with regard to the funding of broadband has to address the institutional arrangement. Unless we do that, I don't see how we're going to be successful. I think we've tried for a while as a department to try to move or move forward with the issue of broadband, and I think what has been striking from our side is that the institutional arrangement that we have on the table is a problem. It needs to be resolved. There has been discussions with the three entities, that is CETA, Infraco, and CENTEC, and there's even a draft MOU in terms of how the three can work. But an MOU is just an interim setup. We need a longer-term institutional arrangement that can even get to a point where the three entities are aligned. That is government-owned. But the issue of Telkom is also very fundamental. I think it's also an area that we've had a discussion that with the minister and ministers looking into. So the question raised is fundamental. It needs to be addressed if we are going to succeed with regard to broadband, and there is definitely an initiative from our side to address that. But that also deals with the SOEs in terms of our own shareholding in government and then also with Telkom. But over and above that, the second part of the question is on provinces, what provinces does and municipalities. So, but also what we have to do, even in addressing that, is the institutional arrangement that we enter into with provinces and municipalities with regard to broadband. So it's a broader issue which is quite complex, and it's probably part of it is actually even above my head. It's something that even sits at the minister's level. But we take note and we do agree that we need to address it, and there is a process underway to deal with it. The second part of the question in terms of the amendment and the full policy review, the amendment that we are putting forward is the technical amendment, because while we have to go through a comprehensive full policy review, institutions that we have, we still need to continue with them, but there are certain things that we still need to deliver on. So the technical amendment is about assisting us to proceed with certain activities in terms of the work. But the full comprehensive policy review, you'll see even in the start plan, it starts with a green paper, then there will be a white paper, and then it will take us to this so-called new legislation, which will probably be an overhaul of the ECA. As much as this process is urgent, Honorable Kinley, but we need to do justice to the process. It's not a process that we can rush. It's a process that we need to do it properly. It will take time. So it's not even going to be concluded in this year. This year we'll probably just only get the white paper, meaning we're talking about maybe, 12 to 18 or 24 months. So it's going to be a lengthy process, which I think our view is that when you want to do justice to the overhaul and you don't get accused one day that it was a copy and paste of the ECA or the IBA or whatever, ICASA Amendment Act, it requires us to really do justice to the process and give ourselves enough time, but focus, of course, and we do agree that we need to focus on it, but we would be undertaking. So I just hope that members you know, the response that I've given, you know, it is acceptable. But I think let me just allow my colleagues to deal with some of the questions, and I'll come back.
Okay, thanks, Honourable Chair and members. If I could just touch on the issue of the Dinaledi schools in the E&E document that the Chair raised. I think if one looks at it, in 2010-11, we did report that 375 schools were achieved. And in 11-12, when the document was being developed, we indicated that in 11-12, we envisaged 125 schools, which adds up to the 500. However, the challenge here was that there was actually delays in signing of the contract with the Department of Basic Education, and that therefore the 125 fell through. And therefore you'll see in the 12-13, 13-14, 14-15 financial years going forward, there aren't any targets projected. That's because of the explanation given by Chagu that it's now going to be part of the eSchools connectivity plan. Going forward, it's going to be incorporated in there. While I've got the floor, if I could just touch on the issue of the alignment and that being proactive with entities, I think we acknowledge that. I think we definitely do have alignment workshops with the SOEs to ensure integration of the plans. That has happened and that will continue. But going forward, we'll then focus also on the technical aspects of their plan and in a proactive nature. Just on the last issue from my side, I think it was raised that with regards to the plan being very ambitious and not being that focused, but I think if we tried in all ways to prioritize in the strategic plan, and I think if you compare it with the last strategic plan, the 11-12, just to give some sort of sense of it, we had 105 targets in the strategic plan for the 11-12 financial year, but in the 12-13 in this current plan, it's just down to 72. Targets that we prioritize, and this is shared across the six programs as well as eSkills and DGO. So if one looks at it, it's just an average of about 9 targets per program. But also we have prioritized the 5 flagship programs as non-negotiable, which we've also developed war rooms for it, their standing items on EXCO and top management, etc. So those are the priorities that we're the non-negotiable that we have identified. Thank
you. Honourable Chair, I will deal with the issue raised by Honourable Drohan on the 1,000 SMMEs as to whether the local, how they're going to be assisted. I must indicate, Honourable Chair, that the plan is that as we move into the space of manufacturing set of boxes, we should also take into account the fact that there are small and medium enterprises that should be considered, and therefore they will be playing a role in the value chain of the set-top boxes from the manufacturing itself to distribution, to repairs and installation. This is done to make sure that you do not have a selected few monopolizing this whole area, because there is a substantial amount of money that government is going to be putting in the subsidy of these boxes, and therefore it's important that this process is also used to trigger or activate enterprise development targeting the SMMEs in all the provinces. On the issue of the budget, Chair, I must also go back to say that there are three areas where there is a problem, and I think we did mention that the first area is the area of subsidies, wherein there is a shortfall of about 2.6 billion. Now, I had honourable members indicating that perhaps we could look into cutting or shifting the money. Unfortunately, this shortfall, the department is unable to deal with it. Even if we were to take the entire budget of the department and say, let's focus on set-top boxes and DTT, it will not be enough. There will still be a problem. So shifting here would not necessarily work. It's even getting more worse if we go to the SABC, which has only been allocated 138 million and currently sitting with a shortfall of about 3.9 billion. If the department were to say, let's take our budget for the next 3 years and stop everything and just finance DTT, it will still not even be enough. That's how serious the situation is. Centec, the same reason applies, because it has to roll out the infrastructure and make sure that as we migrate, we are ready, we have the necessary infrastructure. also these are the issues, these are the things that are beyond the budget of the department, because take for example, Chair, the department in the coming financial year, it only has a budget of about 1.7 billion. And I did indicate on Tuesday that 65% of this budget already goes to the entity. So that leaves only about 35%. And out of this 35%, you have two main amounts that are ring-fenced. You have broadband, you have a 112 call center, and then the rest. And 112 call center is about 112 million. Broadband about 100 million, and the rest is it's then available for use in the department to implement projects. On the issue of why are we not able to perhaps put a case forward to perhaps convince that we need money, I must indicate, Honourable Chair and members, that the department has done almost all what it could year in, year out to try and put a case on the table, and I think Honorable Shin was indicating that perhaps we're not strong enough or putting the case strong enough. And I must also put it to the committee that perhaps at some point, the committee may also want to just step in some of the challenges that we are currently experiencing. I mean, if the department presents a case, and the officials are invited together with the SOEs to go and present a case to National Treasury, then you have officials saying, but why should we allocate money to television? Meanwhile, people need roads. It becomes a problem because there's nothing much that we can say as a department, no matter how hard we work and put the figures and business cases. But if there's a view that why should money go to television? Meanwhile, people need clinics and roads and so on. That becomes a problem. But I must indicate that this is a matter that I think the minister did mention on Tuesday, that there will be some interventions to try and deal with this issue at a higher level. So in as far as the budgets are concerned, that's really the challenge. I mean, we are well aware of the fact that we could try and effect some cuts there and there where it's possible. But I must also indicate to the committee that the Department of Communications is one of the departments where financial discipline is at the highest level. I mean, we do not engage in any kind of waste. I think honorable members have raised issues around the use of consultancies, compensation, and so on. The general increases that are there are mainly due to inflationary increases, and there are no frills, there's no waste. We do have controls and measures in place to make sure that the budget, the bulk of the budget, is directed towards service delivery, and we continue to monitor that. And I must also assure the committee that even though we might have had challenges, let's say in 2010-11 and even the previous financial year, the reality is that we are now back on track, and this is going to be evident when we present the financial performance of the current financial year going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chair and members, I think, Chair, I want to just appreciate the point put forth by Honourable Killian here. The possible situation you have with regards to the whole policy and regulatory regime, which issue is fundamental to be dealt with in the National ICT Policy Framework. So, in essence, the department may not necessarily give its view on whether it is comfortable if ICASA, the ministry, puts a policy directive to try and move in a particular direction, and ICASA has a different take on that. We may not necessarily be able to pronounce on that, but we have, over the years, observed this as a critical challenge. Just the point that Honorable Mtambo here is asking, what is the role of other entities with regards to broadband? I mean, we are operating in a pro-competitive environment, and we have an emphasis on rural broadband. By and large, you want a review of a policy framework that begins to align with national goals and priorities. And these are the challenges that we would want to deal with in this legislation that the DG has referred to. And it is correct that at the same time, Chair, there are technical glitches that are there, which, for instance, you'll find that these entities need help because some of the cases are in court and things like that, and, and we need to be able to deal with that. So we might need to make an observation, but at the same time, you'd not want to necessarily say you leave things for then 3 years simply because you are busy with this national ICT review and eventually this the ICT policy and legislation, as it were. Just wanted to say that that's a very important issue, actually, which we need to look at. And I think it goes to how we'll largely address the whole issue of broadband, particularly focusing on areas wherein we have not seen investment. Even if you have national spectrum resources, but if you do not have a consensus view on how you'll be able to move in the next 3 to 5 years, I mean, it remains a pipe dream, Chair. I would also move to address some of the issues here. With regards to the prioritization, Chair, the state plan may not necessarily be saying exactly where do we want to spend our money. It's very clear that broadband is a key project for the department, and in fact, it can consume all of the budget allocated to the department. Broadband, notwithstanding the fact that the final plans have not been approved by Cabinet, the reality is that this is urgent for us. It has been a program in our sub-plans for over the years now. It is one of the programs wherein we want to channel resources to. And the way we have looked at the issue of job creation is that it relates to, for instance, broadband rollout has to achieve job creation. If you address creative industries as one of our priorities, as we have put it here, you also make sure that SABC is able to give you a sense of jobs that it is going to create through its content production programs. There could be, for instance, small programs that the department can implement, but the challenge we've had, for instance, in the last financial year is that we have not been allocated money to create jobs. So the budget for the department, which is appropriated, does not enable you to gear towards setting up programs ourselves. And we've always relied on SOEs or even the industry as such. So that's one of the challenges we've had, Chair. We have a program that has identified primarily the areas in which jobs can be created. There is consensus that those areas can create jobs. We do agree, in fact, that job creation in this sector, we can surpass the numbers that are printed out there. The difficulty is that we do not have control over what could happen out there. The important development here, and I agree that we would have to come back to present what our thoughts have been on this, it's this recent development around the Employment Creation Fund, which will then guide. If department identifies that it's an opportunity, then how do we support the sector to be able to access the fund there? I think that's one of the important things. But the prioritization, Chair, is there in the department. We have a set of flagships, which are six, and I mean I can list some of them here: DTT, Creative Industries, Electronics Manufacturing, which part of it relates to the whole manufacturing of set-top box, but not only set-top box. Electronics, which are largely used and absorbed in the country. Broadband, post-bank is one of our priorities. So in terms of prioritization on where our money has to go, Chairperson, we have a sense there. Maybe we are not putting things in the manner that we could be understood. There was the issue around the inclusion of print media. We have to be honest, Chair, that we do not have a specific program targeted for print media, Honorable Zebe. I think it is correct that we have always left this program to the MDDA, who is mandated by legislation to address this. But I will take a point, Chair, that we have to also look at the existing radio community radio stations, because indeed it's true. Some of the radio stations here, which have been operating, they are struggling to actually finance their costs, and yet they are providing a very important service here. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I see we are now left with 10 minutes before. Maybe what we can do, Chairperson, on questions that we have not been able to address, like, for example, the bursary questions and the coverage, we can provide a written response to the committee.
Thank you, DG, members.
I think that's how far we can go, and we must see how do we proceed moving forward and so on. But it's how far we can go for today on this matter and so on. A minute, Killer.
You did not respond to the DG. I think we must just agree that if they could please just present those in writing to us, the responses. That will be fine. Thank you, Chairman. Can we ask for a time frame of a week, please, Chairman?
You'll be in recess. Oh, okay. No, it's fine. We'll deal with that. Can we get the information a week? Which must come to the committee section, then they will see how to forward it to members. Look, members, we need to conclude the matter. My reading of the situation is that I think Mr. Temba was trying to move towards where we want the department to move. And we appreciate the responses and so on. But I think it will be fair teaching that for us as a committee to be able confidently approve the strategic plan and the budget related to that, that it becomes a streamlined strategic plan and the budget which we understand. So that we know what we are approving and so on around this particular matter. I'm just raising that because you see, last year you raised very interesting issues on studies which was underway and studies which you're going to conduct and the studies which you have concluded. Now, when you go to your DCA document, it does not tell us how far did you go those studies. Because part of those studies which you said you'll be conducting is a study which was developing, design and developing of the IC data warehouse. Because we are battling with these issues because we don't have the data which we are working on. We just working on. So that is a study which you said you conducted, if I'm not mistaken. It was underway last year. I've seen somewhere it's coming, but it's not explicit. But I think those are the building blocks. If we agree, all of us, that what is important in the department are building blocks. So let us focus to building blocks. Yes, maintaining the services to continue, Mr. Pierce, which is important that things must happen, but let us spend more focus on the building blocks. What are these things which are critical for the department to put in place so that we are able to move smoothly, moving forward without any challenges at all? I think that's where we must focus at. So, around those particular matters, because if you go back to the studies which were underway, which you're conducting and so on, it includes broadband and so on. I'm raising the studies because we're starting to show where the department wants to go. Because the issue of broadband, look, DG, what is the question which we always ask is that, what informs the regulator to allocate the universal service obligation to operators? But we don't have a database. What informs them? Why they say telecom must go to a certain area and connect school or MTN go that way, but we don't have a database which we are trying to address as a country. Where is this database? What exactly? And so on. So that's why I'm raising the issue of the studies. I hope that you must go back to the studies, which you were talking about last year that you are busy with, because they are going to help us as a country to move forward to build the building blocks and so on. But I think that's where we must focus. As I've said, that we take the point you have technical amendments which you must do. But I think on a technical amendment, you must present it to us so that we agree that really is necessary. We're not going to agree, approve a certain plane with saying it's the amendment, the CASA is on, which we don't even know what exactly we want to address, because some of us will argue to say it is addressed currently. It has that people, they don't do what they're supposed to do. So, if you want us to agree on those technical amendments, probably it will be better that you present them so that we understand them. What are these technical amendments exactly all about? Are they necessary? Because so that you release the resources there to those technical amendments to someone else where you need to do certain things because you don't have the budget and so on. But I think probably let's agree that it is true that some technical amendments are important. Because we didn't have time to go into details here and so on.
But I think you must find a way of take us on board to understand exactly. If you say ICASA, what exactly will change in ICASA will be able to make you address the strategic intent which you want to address now. What is it in the ECA and so on. So that DG will go with the job creation. You see, on the job creation, there are no shortcuts. I hear the difficulty of determining and so on, but there are no shortcuts because, you see, you are the leading department in the sector. You should be knowing that when we do this thing, but probably the issue of the data which is not available, or it comes into play. Because if you don't have the data and so on, it becomes difficult how to move forward. But we should be knowing that, by the way, if we do these things, what are the spin-offs? Direct and indirect, like Mr. Peel was saying, the direct and indirect, and the engagement with the industry is fine, but it should be concrete, so that we know what exactly are these jobs which are created and so on, so that we are able to come to what Honorable Sliman was saying. Because for us, it's about the numbers, not about the wedding. To us, it's about when the first quarter finished, then we know how many jobs will be created and how, then we are able to say why you didn't or how did you do it and so on. So it's about the numbers, because the statistic of unemployment is numbers, it's not words. You see them, they're unemployed, 1, 2, 3, 4. So if you create jobs, it will be 1, 2, 3, 4, so that we know how many people will be absorbed and other things into their work and so on. So generally, it won't help. Probably, if you are not sure, is to change the wording in your strategic plan. Because if you don't know that job, maybe you are still investigating or researching about job creation. So it should be that. But if you say job creation as a definite thing, be definite on numbers. But if you don't know, it's a process. Help us in your strategic plan to explain it as such. But the difficulty is that the president and the president of government is job creation. So it cannot be an intent. It should be something concrete, whatever you come with, in terms of these are the things which must be happening and so on around this particular matter. You know. I think, DG, that will help us. And go back to the issue of the market analysis, risk and opportunities, which we have put it. But I think the shortfall, DG, is that they appear, some of them are the same of the last year one. We thought that when you say risk and management, you say this is a risk. Where's the year progress? There should be an improvement. Not to stay as they are. You see, so some of them, they're still as they are, which probably will get that report during the annual report, but it's worrying if the risk stay as they are, because it means it becomes a norm that they will stay there. But some of them, you can be able to eliminate them as you move forward and so on. Issue of investment and innovation. We want to understand what is the investment on the sector. Last year, you talk about 189 billion. That probably this year, the investment in the sector will be around 189 billion. What has happened around those investments in the sector and so on. So just to understand what is happening and the impact of what you are dealing with. I'm sure the issue of the workforce members have asked about that and so on. So, DG, I think those are the issues which we wanted to brought in, and again, we'll appeal. Because some of the issues I'm talking about were picked up on the committee report for last year. There are 6 committee reports last year. The annual, the strategy and budget report of the committee, the oversight report, and the PRRR report of the committee. We do put recommendations there on those reports in terms of certain things which we think. So those other issues need to be taken on board. I think some of them you did, to be honest. Some of them you have did, like the issue of USASA and so on. We have acted in terms of the recommendation of the committee. It's not that you didn't do anything around those recommendations. But there are key recommendations which seek to talk to the strategic plan, which we think you still need to deal with and so on. So I think DG, and streamlining DG, you see, this 75 is still too much. But we appreciate that we are reducing. But in terms of achieving it in a year, it's a little bit too much. So Mr. Pierce, just pick up things. You know, I've seen other countries for 3 years they have only 4 priorities, for 3 years. We're talking about a year with 75. There are countries for just 4 5 years, they deal with only three priorities: broadband, if they want to do it, broadband, digital migration, and then something else. Only three, that's their focus. Then they manage the other things, but the focus is clear that as South Africa, this is where we want to focus for this term, whereas broadband is broadband, DTT is DTT, and so on. And keep on reminding us as members that, no. You see, we understand these other issues, but this is our focus, then we manage the other issues. That will make us to move, because we forget also as members. That's why I'm saying also remind us that this is where we are, but we are managing the other thing. But this is what we do, because clearly, the issue of DTT, your broadband, as the president say, national legislative around that and so on, this is supposed to be the overarching, driving in terms of focus. So all the resources should be marshalling towards those, but to achieve those. Then the others, of course, you have to manage it. You cannot leave everything else. But there should be that clear intent. Where do you want to go? Where is our focus? And so on. Then we move as a, if we decide that our issue is universal service access. So everything else, when you say this thing, then you say how does it impact universal service access, they must be subjected to one or main objective, how does it achieve that, and so on. But then we'll be able to marshal ourselves to one strategic and focused area. As well. So that will be our request, CG. But like we said, as members indicated, it was going to be difficult for you. We took note about the issue of the treasure and the responses in some of the areas. But we'll be able to do what we're supposed to do as a committee, taking forward processes. We do talk to the appropriation committee that there are already indicated that there are problems in terms of that. But you see, we need to be convinced ourselves that, yes, the money you have has been clearly allocated with the focus, so that we are able to say, yes, we need to take our own processes forward of engaging the other committees in terms of the needs of the sector, which we are not going to run away from that responsibility as a committee. But we need to be satisfied as a committee that whatever currency allocated is focusing in terms of moving forward as well. We will do that as well. So I would say, DG, help us to do that. And as members have asked that, if you say SABC has asked money or Centec, for what exactly? Just elaborate so that we understand this money, the shortfall is to do 1, 2, 3. So that we don't give them money for going to other things, administration, and they focus on projects and other things. So if you streamline that, I think we'll be moving forward, KG. Probably then will lead us to say what needs to be done. What needs to be done is what members said and what I said moving forward. But I think it won't be fair that we can try to get all the answers on these things here. You need to go back and do some work and streamline this thing and clarify some of these things. Then the difficulty is that our program is tight when we come back. That's the thing. We'll be having like a very mad program already and so on. But for us to do some work which we think will be comfortable as members, probably will have to fit you when we come back. We're going to recess. We're coming back 17 April. So I think you've got sufficient time in between to do all these other things. Cut the first digit. Cut the first. We don't want to see the first. Where they are first, cut the first. The first in terms of the budget must be cut, and we must be trim, slim like me, and so on, so that we get value for money, and so on. So I think, members, I hope I didn't misrepresent the overview of what we can be proceeding around the whole issue, TG. But we must also thank you very much with your team for the engagement for the 2 days. We hope that when we come back and do that presentation, we'll be able then to finalize the issue of the strategic plan and the budget, and then we move forward in terms of the department. DG?
Honorable Chairperson and members, thank you very much. We take note of your comments and summarization. We truly believe that we'll go back and look at the comments, but the comments from yourself and the members can only strengthen the SAC plan and also strengthen the department going forward. But thank you very much.
Thank you, DG, and your team. Members, the tea is here. Just break for 10 minutes, then we take you back. We are trying to conclude on the SOE report, then we take you back. They promised me that their presentation would be 30 minutes, and then we've got an hour to engage
on their presentation. After they've made their presentation for the 30 minutes, as they said, because they are saying they are not going to read, they are going to talk to it. Members, do you have the SOE's report with you? Do you have the SOE's report with you, members? Can we deal with the report, members? It has been with you for a long time. There is weekly I can say, can I get the guidance from you, members? In terms of the report? Cinema? The original report, members, was given to you or was introduced, and then the request was that different parties want to go through the report, which we gave that opportunity. And indeed, there are input from DA, the Democratic Alliance, and also some input from COPE, which were received. And then the document was redone in terms of highlighting the input from the Democratic Alliance and also the one for the Congress of the People. So where we are, members, is the indication starting from the first page of the report in terms of those input, so that we find each other, so that we are able to move with the particular report. The document has been with you for a long time, so that's why I take it that we just go straight to the issues as are reflected in the document which you have. Honorable Madam Kida.
Chairperson, I've got a list of submissions. I don't know if I lost one of my documents with all the plenty of documents that we have. And then I have the report as it was original. But I do not, you know, I do not have the one where the issues are highlighted. Yeah.
Where is the report which highlights issues, community session?
Can I just understand properly, Chairperson? So it is in fact two separate documents.
Yes, there is a submission. There's a document which integrates, which shows that this is what DA which has submitted. You don't have. So you've got the submission and the document.
And the original.
The original. I've got a different document. I don't know why. Because the document I have myself would indicate in the first paragraph what is the, they will say DA and then say what DA said and then will say COPE and say what COPE said. It's not the separate one. But the committee, they give me the same one which you say you have. But they gave me a document which is, reflects the changes in it. And so I don't know where is that document. Let's proceed with the current one so that we can finish. I don't know what happened to the document which reflects. Seven?
Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chair. Because you are not looking at me, I thought maybe you are not listening. That's my problem. I'm having a proposal, Chair, to say we have this document that we think everything is incorporated or whatever, whatever, so that whatever we do here, we don't go back to the first original. We just look into this document to say, okay, on paragraph, I agree or I don't agree. This is my submission. So that we don't go back to the original draft of the report. Let us focus on the current report that we have. Just go through it. Because if I wanted to amend something, obviously I still know whether the document of amendment is there or not. I will still be able to say, no, on this paragraph, this was my view. So that we'll be able to move his feet.
Thank you, sir. Members, let's do this way so that we move.
On page 1 on the document, there is a submission from DA under the introduction they've inserted. We all have that document, which reflects what DA proposed to insert under introduction. We all have that document, the insertion and the document. So let's use these two, the insertion and the document. Yes.
Chairperson.
Honorable Ruto. Honorable Ruto.
Maybe, sir. Peter, it's blue. The English is confusing us. Yes. Yeah. Chairperson, we have just been given a document. Can you look at me, Chairperson? This document, which attaches submissions. They are attached to this. Is that the document you are referring to? This long as it be. Yes. All you had to say, we used the document that has just been given to us, which attached the submission. This is the one. And then we'll understand.
Thank you, Honorable Rotua. We're on page 1 under introduction, the insert by DA there. Members, can we deal with that one? I'm on your hand. I'm dealing with that. I'm waiting for parties to agree to insert that part on the document so that we move, which is page 1 under introduction.
Chair, it's just not, I must say that in the main, these amendments of the DA are not very clear at all, but let's start with the introduction. I'm trying to actually figure out from this where they actually would even want to put this in the introduction. It's not clear. They're saying delete something in brackets. Is that at the end of the first paragraph or the second paragraph of the introduction? I'm not clear.
Okay, you're obviously this is not necessarily helpful to show you where we wanted these things, because we actually added them into the original document, but sort of highlights and that, so you'd have seen it, but they've now been detached from the document and given separately. So I think it's actually very difficult for members to actually see where we wanted these inserted, because they're totally detached. So it's, do we not have at all the copy of sort of amended document that we sent, because I did it as sort of highlight insertion into the original document. I know where they are because I've written them on the original document, but no one else knows where they are. You know, when the original document that I submitted had them, I think, highlighted or in red or something when I added to the original document. And obviously members don't have what I sent you.
Members, maybe let's do like this. Because we won't be able to proceed smooth if we don't have the document which was integrating the amendment, which I don't know where is that document, because that's the document we should be having now. Probably let's proceed with your SASA presentation, and then after we've got that document, probably go back to the document. It won't help now. The document we are talking about.
As said earlier on, we have this document. Is that okay? In the introduction, there's a paragraph and a second paragraph. Honorable members from the DA, they are here. They can say whatever changes that they want to do. We can still do it without the original document. Whether we agree or not is another thing. Because already this document has been worked in, or they must just tell us if this thing has been captured the way they proposed or not. Because my fear is that we'll end up not dealing with this document if it's not here.
That's what I was trying to do. Then I said page 1 members guide me. All what the ANC should have said should have raised their hand. We don't agree with anything. That's what you're supposed to do, and we move. Or you agree with the insertion, but you didn't say anything until Honorable Sin was trying to explain.
But when I was saying we're on page one, under introduction, there's an intention, what, can you talk? Everyone was quiet. So that was the problem. Honorable State.
Chair, I want to support your proposal that we carry on with USASA. We have got people here that we don't want to unnecessarily waste their time. This is committee homework, housework, that we should proceed with once we've finished with them. And it's, you know, the other amendments are going to have the same problem, that it doesn't show where the amendment fits in. So if we, in the meantime, whilst we carry on with USASA, we then get the copy of the document that clearly shows where the amendment or the proposal is supposed to fit in, then everybody will be on the same page, so to speak.
I hear you, Honorable Stan. Muruto?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have to stop. Yeah. I don't want to use the words that would maybe disturb
peace and harmony.
But we seem to be talking from different the table there and us. The table and us, yes. I think somehow, you know, Honorable Stain has got what I have in mind. Chairperson. Aye. Susan, you are disturbing our meeting. We have a document here, Chairperson. And according to how you want us to deal with the document, seemingly there were insurgents from the submission, this document. And I think that's what Honorable Stain is referring to. If we continue with this document, it doesn't indicate to us where the insurgents are, you see. That would be the problem, because we have to refer now to these other submissions, you know. That is the thing that is going to confuse us more. If this document has got insurgents from submissions, then we need the document to highlight some of those insurgents so that we are able to talk on what is in front of us. But if we just go through the document and somewhere you stop us and anybody else will stop us and then we argue on that, it's not going to help us. It's very clumsy. You are right, Honorable. This is very clumsy. I hear what Susan is saying, Honorable Sebe. Honorable Sebe is saying. But this is a similar procedure that we use with bills, you know. Because if you don't know where you have deleted and what you have inserted, it becomes very difficult. Now, I plead with you, Chairperson, that really, if we are going to go on with this, we should know where the insurgents are, and that would assist us.
Thank you, Honorable Sneeman.
Honorable Chairperson, maybe I'm saying that because I've seen the document that you are referring to, not going through it. I'm just checking my documents, where is it? It has been put in our pigeonholes. I went through it yesterday. I can tell you today and now that now I'm seeing it, and I know what Honorable Sheen is saying, whether where does it come in or not. But I've seen those insertions. There was a document that you are referring to. I've seen it yesterday. And from the start of the AIDS, I can tell you, Guti, what are we saying about that insertion? Well, or personally, Member of Parliament, what I'm saying about it, because I've seen it. It's not like that document, we have never seen it before. It was distributed to members. Maybe the issues that we just didn't bring here, but it was distributed to us. I've seen it.
No. Thanks, Cinema.
Yeah, no, Chair, I wanted to say that if you're wanting us to go through paragraph by paragraph, that's fine, but I think as the ANC we are able to pronounce on these amendments. If we need to do that now, I'm sure we can do that. But if it's the preference of the committee to go through paragraph by paragraph and to see exactly where they wanted to, because I understand that as well, then that's fine. The only thing that I'm worried about is that the time, one, and that this report has to be adopted. And therefore, we have to have numbers here. And we have one member who has made a request to leave just now. Is not well. So I'm just worried that if we go ahead with USASA, by the time we get to come to the end of that, we will not have sufficient numbers here to adopt this report. That's my only concern. And this is the last meeting, and this report has to be passed before we close. So that's my only the issue I wanted to raise. But I do understand that it would be easier to have that document here. But as I say, as the ANC, if need be, we can even pronounce right now on our thoughts on the amendments.
Okay, Kane.
No, Chair, the worry is that one of time. I've put an apology already and explained my reasons. But the point is that, I mean, I can understand if the document is not here. Anybody who's done any session knows it's in session. If you are on page one, then you invite, if DA has an insertion, they don't have to explain the whole insertion. They can just give us the point of the insertion and see if we think we agree with that. If we agree, we carry forward. I can't make insertion and changes and not know what I've done. Even if the original document is not there, if I look at the page, I'll know. This particular area, I did make changes. You give a person the point you are making and see if they agree with it. And with other amendments, if the amendments on the same page, you ask for whether we agree with the amendment. And page by page, we finish. I don't think necessarily paragraph by paragraph. If the amendments, if some pages don't have amendments, probably we'll just have to agree and pass. But I just think we should start, if there's an insertion, let DA indicate the point and see if we agree and we pass.
Thanks, members. I hear you, members. Look, you had almost now a week and a half with the document. You read the document, you know the document. Can we finalize the document? If you allow me from page one insertion and so on, now we should be half through. Because not every page they are insertion and so on. Kilen, are you helping us?
Yes, I just wanted to suggest that we move through the pages because the submissions that you received actually on page one, I have a technical display a suggestion that I've proposed. It's not a political one. It's just technical. And maybe if you will allow that, not only just work through the DDA and then afterwards we go through the same pages again. So if we do it page by page, it's fine.
Can we start page one, member? Page one, on the document you have the insertion from DA, on the last page under introduction, they want to add that sentence and to remain politically neutral to save a diversity of views necessary for vibrant democracy. That's the intention they want to put under introduction. You delete the full stop, then you add that sentence. Mrutu, Kile?
Chairperson, we would have no problem from COPE's side to reinforce the public broadcaster's mandate. So we would certainly support that. And then can I perhaps just, on the same score, will you allow me to just introduce the technical suggestions that I have as far as this is concerned?
Which you didn't submit?
No, I did.
Okay.
It's here on page. On page 3 of the list of submissions.
Okay.
Just to make it more clear what is meant, if you will allow me. I just wanted to suggest that we move with 2.1 not being the introduction, but we did not mention that it is the SABC that we're dealing with. So the heading should actually read SABC, and then introduction becomes 1.1, and challenges experienced when dealing with the SABC becomes 1.2. And then the other paragraphs will simply just follow 1.2.1, 1.2.2, etc. So this is the nature of the technical amendment that I'm recommending. Because then everybody can see we're now dealing with the South African Broadcasting Corporation. And then we move on to the other entities. So it is just, I think it was just a little omission. So it's really just a technical amendment.
No, Chair, we will support the numbering and the change of heading as supported by the Honourable Killian from COPE.
We had the one from the DA which COPE agree with, the one of the inspection.
Chair. Do you want me to comment on that as well? Okay, all right. No, I was saying that we will have no problem in supporting the Honourable Killian. However, we will have difficulty supporting the proposed amendment of the DA, so as the ANC will not support that amendment. Yeah, we're not supporting that insertion.
I find it actually very strange that the ANC doesn't want to stress the neutrality of the SABC and the need for it to really serve diversity of views, which is necessary for a vibrant democracy. Perhaps they'd like to explain why they don't support that very sort of basic tenet of our democracy.
Seven.
The ANC, in fact, the DA has proposed something. The ANC is saying we are not supporting that, and we are not supporting that. And Honorable Shin, this is a committee report. If there's anything that you don't agree here, we'll vote anyway, and we'll go to the House. Normally, as DA used to do in all the reports anyway, you won't support it in the House. Finish and clear. But you cannot be here, waste time, because you know that DA will never agree on anything that ANC says, Honorable Chairperson. And the other thing is that, I've requested in the last meeting that sometimes members, when they are new in the committee, must have information from former members. Some of the things they've already dealt with at another level as a committee. So I don't know why Honorable Shin is insisting that this matter must be inserted. Because I don't, unless she's saying, in the last meeting that was not even part, this matter was discussed and it was agreed upon. So it was not even agreed upon in that other meeting. There's no way that the committee in any of its meetings has agreed of this paragraph. Thank you, Chair.
Shin.
Chair, I'd just like to remind our Honourable ANC colleague that when this document was first submitted to this committee, we asked, Honourable Stan and myself asked leave to actually consult our colleagues who had been part of this discussion, because as we hadn't been, we felt we couldn't pronounce on the accuracy of the deliberations recorded in this document. You kindly allowed us some time, and within 24 hours we responded. And the responses from the DA that I hear are those entirely of our predecessors in this committee. They are not our personal opinions, because we weren't here in order to pronounce upon them. So I think that the Honourable ANC member is misguided, that these are totally the opinions of our predecessors who were involved in the discussion which this document records.
Can we agree that you don't agree? I don't want to
hamper time and repeating time and time again one and the same thing if you don't agree. Honorable Mrotua, you want to say something different?
No, you have already diluted what I want to say.
Gatane?
Because, Chairperson.
Okay,
question. I'm saying, Chairperson, I'm trying to explain why I'm saying this. I thought I'm given an opportunity like Honorable Sheen has been given opportunity to respond. The reason why I'm lifting my hand up is that this is a procedural matter. We are dealing with this report at this moment, and this is how we deal with this report. If we don't agree with whatever, it is going to go to the plenary, and that is where we're going to explain ourselves. I think that's how we deal with issues.
Sima?
Chairperson, I want to help this procedure, the process go faster. And therefore, I would like to say that as the ANC, we do not support any of the amendments of the DA, and we want to propose that we proceed.
Cole?
Can I now move for a negotiated settlement? Can we not perhaps refer to the Broadcasting Act, specifically Section 3, where the charter of the corporation is actually stipulated, and we refer they enjoy freedom of expression and journalistic creative and programming independence as enshrined in the Constitution. It's already in detail. It is there. Yeah. Sorry,
Kevin.
Yes, this is. Actually, what I wanted to say that this that is proposed is a big thing, but it has been dealt with before. I mean, the whole issue of ICASA, when it gives licenses, this is what they check, by the way. And now, I just don't think this is the time to start debating neutrality, autonomy as well, because it has been done, it is built in the whole framework. We must just continue with the report as it is. Maybe the member, because he's new now, you know, he is revamping the will, and the fundamentals are there already.
Can I put to you, members, the amendment for DA? Any support for the insertion from DA? Any support for the insertion? I need a hand so that we move. Otherwise, so the three of you. Again? No. Thank you very much. Six against, six in favor. Can we go to page 2, members?
The ANC is saying we are not accurate, Chairperson, we have this document.
Yes,
like I'm saying, we have read this document. So what Honorable Greg was saying was that the ANC is not in support. And I thought when we were in agreement or not in agreement, it was based on everything that is contained in this document concerning the DA. That's why I'm saying
I thought
what the ANC was saying.
I don't know the view of COPE in page 2. I still have to put it one by one until we finish.
Until we finish. Oh, okay.
Page 2, there's an insertion proposed by DA under editorial coverage. Support for that, the insertion. I'm going to hand now. I'm not going to discuss it. You are wasting the note. Any support for that insertion? I'll see by hand. Support for the insertion? 2 against? I need hands. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Abstain.
Just a moment, because I can't remember that I heard that. So I'd rather just abstain.
No, it was never in the committee. It's something we're talking outside. That's the difference in we're saying that we're dealing with issues in terms of the committee report. That's one I know the issue, but was never in the committee. On page 2, structural programming, there is an insertion there from DA on page 2, structural programming, which they are proposing that we must insert there. Support for that? Again? 2, 6, and abstain? Oh, you. Under 1.1.6, broadcasting digital migration, there's an insertion there, which is from DA, under 1.6. Support? 2. Again? Abstain? So I must assume you're abstaining. Killen, Honorable Killen, I must assume you're abstaining.
Yes.
Even if you don't say anything.
Sorry.
Okay. Page 5, you've got a heading under funding model. The insertion is that which is there from DA. Any support for that?
Chairperson,
yes.
Sorry, but you've really been running. I was still looking at the page 2, where I just wanted to make sure that members understand where all the sort of numbering corrections had to occur.
Numbering, agreed.
Okay, that's numbering. Not a problem. But when it comes to the funding model, I had a different recommendation to what the DA is saying. So please, if you will just allow me on that one.
Yes,
this is... Chairperson, under funding model, I was saying the committee noted that the current funding model of the public broadcaster presents challenges for the turnaround strategy of the SABC. Full stop. In other words, I'm arguing against the fact that it is the main contributor for its inability to fulfill its mandate. Having listened to the money that was squandered at the SABC, it cannot be our finding that it is the main problem. Two at the bottom, Chairperson. That's the SABC. It cannot be the main contributor for its inability to fulfill its mandate. My recommendation is, as on page 3 of the submissions document, you will see under 10, page 2, it says, the committee noted that the current funding model of the broadcaster presents challenges for the turnaround strategy of the SABC.
The Honourable Killian is a little bit behind. Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because in terms of the DA amendments, they're on page 5 under the section that deals with the ARPA.
Okay.
And the section that
I don't mind. You can redirect me when, you know, because I actually requested at the beginning that we working page by page of the report. Chairperson, if you are on page 5 of the report, does it mean that you have just passed us by?
Assistant, can I try and assist? I think that, you see, COPE has got their own amendments, and you're dealing with the amendments of the DA. Okay. that's fine.
Person, with respect, I don't want to differ from you, but that's what, actually what I tried to do. So,
person, to save time, we agree with the Honourable Killian's amendment. It's just a rephrasing, really, so we're happy with it.
Taken the rephrasing. It's fine. Maybe I'm mixed up where we are myself. I'm battling to find where we are. That's what the problem is. My apology, Killian. Page 5, funding motive for ICASA, the insertion. Honorable Killian, which is 3.1.5 on the document.
Correct. Chairperson, I also just have a slight adjustment to the phrase as it is originally. I want to suggest that we do the following. We say the committee noted that the regulator reported that it was, amongst other things, constrained by its budget to fulfill its mandate. Full stop. And the reason for that is that I do not believe that we have, as a committee, adequately inquired about ICASA's ability to account for license fees. And we can therefore not jump to a conclusion that they need additional funding without us having evaluated their ability to what is the word? To ensure that the license fees are paid, that they have a proper record. According to the Auditor General, they are unable to give evidence and to account for license fees. And therefore, my argument is we cannot jump to a conclusion that they need more funding from the state until such time as we verified that position. So I thought it would be more appropriate for us to say we have noted that they said that they are constrained by the limited funding, by the funding model. But we have not adequately investigated that. That's according to our organization. To
DA, on the COP submission. ANC, sir.
No, Chairperson. Not yet there for the ANC. We could do that. I just wanted to share with Honorable Killian, because what she's saying, as she has reconstructed the first sentence, and she's also talking about the substantive increment into the budget. But that means, does that mean she agrees in regard to the review of the fund? Because there are two things in the second sentence. It talks about the review of the funding model, because if that is the case, I think I agree in terms of the review of the model, then we might delete the increment, but in terms of the review of the ICASA, is the matter that you have dealt with in this committee, even in all the interviews of ICASA, that's what we have been asking them, if we get appointed, how do you view ICASA in terms of the new model? That one we have dealt with at the level of the committee. We might delete the issue of increment, I agree, but in terms of the review, we must leave it as that.
Chairperson, I'm willing to accept the proposed recommendation.
So we all agree. So yeah, we remove the increment, we review, and the modification which have done. So we don't have to vote in anything from your proposal. You modify it in line with the general. Okay. Page 5, heading 4.1.1. There is a DA insertion there.
We don't support.
COOP. We are on page. There is no page, the document. But we are on page 5 of the report, 4.1.1. Page 5 of the main report, 4.1.1.
MDDA under MDDA. Any support for the insertion? Support for the insertion? Support for the insertion? None. Against? Can we go to page 5, heading 4.1.2? There is an insertion there which is talking about Jimmy Mani. Any support for the insertion? Yes. 4.1.2 on the non-commitment of government and private sector to advertising ad spend to community radio. Insertion, any support for the insertion? What does it mean if there is no hand with support? Or any support for the insertion? Any support for the insertion? Okay. Against? Which I started with and no one raised any hand? Yes?
Something that should we punish the poorest of the poor because of the statement made by an individual?
We are on page 6 of the report. 4.1.3. Page 6 of the report of the insertion, man. The submission from, on page 6 of the report in terms of the DA proposal is 4.1.3. They are saying we must delete with the Shin. Which S are we deleting and replace with E?
Sorry, Chair, we were just adding the view that the DA distanced itself from this because the entire committee was not in support of, was not against the, sorry, am I talking the right thing? I was talking about
4.1.3.
Sorry, I think it
was. Where you say as the reflection.
Oh, yes, I beg your pardon, yeah. Because, yeah, the view was that this was an attack on one of the big media companies, and that the part of the committee which the DA formed is not against this big company. Yeah.
Oh, I see. The
it is an addition.
Oh, the EU is adding on the advertisers.
Yeah.
We are on the report of the EU,
yeah,
which you are adding. Then after that, then you. You were making the insertion.
Yeah.
That the DA opposes the view.
But basically, you just said that it wasn't a comprehensive. You know, there was dissension within the committee as to the attack on the major newspaper company.
Okay. Any support for the insertion? Support for the insertion? Against? Are you supporting the insertion? Against?
I'm not going to endorse the DA, the name of the organisation to be included, but there was certainly a minority view that was expressed during those hearings.
What minority view are you talking about?
When we engaged with the advertising people, with the advertising sector members, there was certainly a view that they should be utilized, the bigger conglomerates should not be regarded as sort of public enemy. We should redirect them to understand that community newspapers need the support and all of that. I mean, so I don't mind the insertion of the essence of what the DA is proposing, because I know that we've engaged in those public hearings on these matters.
But where is the view which is saying they are the enemy, the big ones, on the report? Well, I'm reading the report and the insertion vis-à-vis the report. I don't see it in the report.
Well,
why is saying the industry, the other, the big one, and so on.
Chairperson, I'm really not going to go to war about this. But if you read the reference, if you read the sentence that starts, furthermore, conglomerates are alleged of buying out grassroots.
It's a fact. Their case is decided on that. It's not.
And in other instances, these conglomerates have established their own community media, which compete with a legitimate community media.
Yes.
That is not a fact, Chair.
It's a fact. It's there. They've admitted themselves on record. It's a fact. That's why I'm saying we are not expressing a view. It's a fact that they are there. They admitted themselves. You check the statement we issued after that. They admitted their cases are being decided. It's a fact, not a view. That's why I'm saying we must separate things. It's not a view. It's a fact. They are existing within everywhere. The local news. It's a fact. It's not a view. So we're not expressing a view there on the local newspaper. It's a fact which is existing. That's why I don't understand the argument.
Chairperson, many of these community newspapers that were established have been established many, many, many moons ago. So all I want to say is, yes, we've heard evidence that as soon as a community newspaper is sort of establishing itself as a significant player, then often the major conglomerates want to buy them out. That is true.
Yes.
And, you know, that we know about.
Chairperson, I think we have agreed that where we don't agree,
I think, sir,
we have agreed that obviously we won't be able to agree on everything. Earlier on, we agreed that where we don't agree, we will vote. Now, as a chairperson, we are changing the one and a half hours. Then, where are you taking us? But if we agree, Honorable Kidan has made some proposal. Where we agree, we said we agree. Where the DA agrees, they say they agree. Now, if we want to start again engaging on debate, that will not take us anywhere, chairperson. I agree with the clarification that we have made. You have also clarified us. If another member wants to clarify something, it's okay. But where you are taking it yourself and Honorable Kidan, that means even all of us will also want to engage, then we'll take the process back again.
I don't want that we are seeing that we are just voting and there are misrepresentation of facts on the issues, because it's going on the Hansard. It's going on the Hansard on record. So if we don't correct facts and just vote, the likelihood that the Hansard will reflect that we are voting on something which is not factual and so on. That's what I was doing. But any against of 4.1.3 for the DA? Against?
No, it's just typographical. It's just the funding, but it's been corrected, as well as the four. In paragraph 4.1.5, in the second line, Chair, it was just the revenues of the community media for their own financially self-centered. I'm down on page 6,
Chairperson. I'd like to know whether you have understood what Honorable Killian, whether we are, you say, whether we agree or not on what she's just said.
No.
we're talking about what she's talking about for. Is that what you're talking about?
Yep, on page 7. It was just a four. No, it's just that's why I said it's only typographical.
Yeah, I said it's a spelling. The four was spelled as F-R-O, instead of F-O-R.
It's a colon, you know, and so on. So it's very simple.
Any support in the light of the reworking of the previous one? Against the insertion? Or we rework it as the, because DA supported that reworking one, which we dealt with. We are on page 7 under the heading recommendation. There is an insertion from DA. At the last page, yeah, 7, the last page.
Okay.
The insertion is under, you see, when you finish the last sentence, then you say to be reviewed, then you put the DA thing. DA?
I think there's somewhat been some confusion, particularly from our previous colleagues. They may have just indicated to us that that was what they believed, but I mean, if we delete it and just leave it, it needs to be reviewed. Similar to the earlier one. We're not saying they should get more money or less money, but it needs to be reviewed. So what I'm doing is I'm formally retracting that particular insert and saying we leave it as it is.
Yeah, I know, Chair, just on a lighter moment, or lighter note, it's obviously very clear that there wasn't a very good handover here from one team to the other, because it's clear that DA hasn't been fully informed.
We really want us to go that route. That was the last insertion, Esther.
I propose that the report be adopted.
I put before you that the report be amended as per the amendments. Any mover in the seconder? ANC?
I move for adoption.
Move for adoption. Second for the adoption. I don't want to keep the ANC. Coop?
Our input check?
Of the report. Adoption with amendment.
Yes. Okay.
Do you agree?
Agree. It is an improved report. Done so with insertions by code. Thank you.
Okay. DA? DA?
It's already a move of the report we adopted with amendments.
Thanks very much, DA. Can we quickly go to USASA, your 30 minutes presentation? What are you doing here now? Because COC is left.
Honorable Chair, apologies. Apologies, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Once again, good afternoon. Chair, my name is Temba Piri, and I'm part of the executive core that has been sent to USASA by Minister together with Mr. Vilakazi here. We have also members of USASA, Mr. Willie Lelamani, who is the executive manager there for business development services. Of USASA, we have Linda, who is acting CFO, and we have brought in Mr. Vusi Zoko, who is actually assisting us in the legal division. Chair, this constitutes the team that will make the presentation to you. Chair, my preamble, introduction here, seeks to inform the committee of who we are and where is ISASA today. We'll go back a little bit to address some of the issues. Chair, we... The Minister of Communications, Chair, relieved the non-executive board members of their duties last year. This was in November. The technical advisor who was appointed by the former Minister of Communications tendered his resignation on the 8th of November. In view of this, this was precipitated by the fact that the executive committee of ISASA was already suspended. Then the minister took a decision to send two DDGs to ISASA, which is myself and Mr. Belakazi, as executive caretakers, still in November. Upon our arrival, Chair, we noted that there was a forensic investigation which was ongoing, which was approved by the board before it was relieved. However, the work on the forensic investigation itself completed in December. The forensic investigation... Yes, thank you for the correction. It's indeed 2011. This investigation, Chair, has uncovered a lot of things, some of which were already said here in the committee before we went to ISASA ourselves. It is the basis for which some of the executives were actually suspended. The current disciplinary cases which are ongoing, Chair, include that of the CFO of ISASA, the executive manager, BDS, the executive for performance management, senior manager for SCM, supply chain management, and the senior manager for ICT, basically IT manager of ISASA. Chair, in our short stay there, we have sought to continue with these cases to ensure that they are processed, and some of the hearings have already begun. I just wish to highlight the fact that we were confronted with the CEO issue, who, in the process of undergoing disciplinary hearing, requested to settle. His request was to settle for the period of 15 months, which was remainder of his term. However, the matter was resolved that the settlement be only at about 7 months period. What we have also done, Chair, is to appoint the acting executives. We established an executive committee to proceed with the decision-making processes at ISASA. We also established a management committee of ISASA, composed of senior managers. Chair, by and large, and this will come from through the presentation as it will be made now here, our understanding of the ISASA we found was that it needs a lot of attention from the DOC, specifically to ensure that it is supported all of its organizational processes on the adherence to supply management policies, on the performance of the board itself, on the accountability and the measures put in place to ensure appropriate spending for specific projects. I just want to highlight one issue, Chair, before I step off, that it is very clear, and I think this was also made in the budget speech last year, that USASA's mandate is found wanting. The need for the repositioning of USASA is actually critical at this point in time. When you look at several of the delivery, the ministerial delivery agreements, especially those that centers around universal access, entered into that agreement chaired by the Minister of Rural Development, most of these issues need to be executed by USASA. And in its current state, it will not be able to achieve that. So we have taken a decision to the minister to propose that a repositioning process of USASA be launched. This repositioning, Honorable Chair, may include possible amendments of the ECA to clarify its mandate. But with the earlier discussion in this very House, Chair, it is very clear that the whole reorganizational policy review will have to take into account the realignment of what becomes of USASA in future. So, Chair, with the short time you have allocated to us, we'll make a presentation which, in our view, in the workshops we have had with the team, we believe that these projects are actually implementable and we can be able to account for the performance thereof. And these are not many, Chair. They are forecast projects. These are projects which are already on the table and they are aligned with the strategic planning priorities of the department and of government generally. Chair, I'll hand over to my colleagues to make inquiries.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll just deal with two slides quickly.
What are you doing as CFO?
Chair, I'm part of the team also that is at USASA as an executive caretaker. Chair, the first slide that we'll deal with deals with the previous AG findings at USASA. We thought it would be appropriate that the committee be updated on what has since been done to address...
Maybe before you proceed, Mpepet, you are most welcome, especially those who come for the first time to the committee to sit here. There are those which you are familiar with. I forgot before you started. They are most welcome so that you don't feel cold, that they are out there at the cold and so on. They are most welcome. Proceed. We know the other one. Mpepet.
Thank you, Chair.
Just to show which document are we using?
Which one do you have, Honorable Killen?
I think I now have the right one. I just prepared on a, it seems to be an outdated document, but I now have this one.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Thank you, Chair. There were about five issues that were raised previously by the AG, the first one being the measurable objectives and the indicators. What we have done, Chair, in preparation of this strategic plan, we have made it a point that it's aligned to the SMART indicators, and we also then, this the strategic planning session was conducted by the strategic planning unit of the DOC to make sure that the issue of measurable objectives and indicators is addressed. So that is addressed in the new strategic planning document. Previously, there was a finding, Chair, regarding the strategic planning session that was not held. That has been corrected. We had a two-day strategic planning session with all the senior managers within the organization. There was an issue around the asset reconciliation not in place. We started a process of making sure that the asset register is completed with the assistance of the department. We seconded officials to go around the country, even at the SASA head office, just to make sure that all the assets are properly identified and they are properly classified and properly disclosed in the asset register. So that is in place. There was a finding in relation to the regular expenditure. I must say, Chair, that this was largely led to, this was really created by a situation that the governance structures were not really functional within the agency. Functional, important structures such as the tender committee, we have now put those committees in place, the specifications committees in place, the items of reference that have been developed, evaluation, guidelines are in place. There is a tender committee that has been appointed to make sure that whatever procurement that the agency undertakes is done in line with the SCM guidelines and regulations. And I think, Chair, one thing that I think Mr. Piri touched on earlier was the issue of the under expenditure that is going to be experienced by the agency in the financial year that will be ending in the next 2 weeks or so. The reason, Chair, really is that when we took over, there was a need to make sure that before any spending could be undertaken, these committees are in place, because you can almost imagine, Chair, walking into an environment where processes, systems are almost collapsing. You literally have to build the systems before you can actually start procuring. On the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there was a finding about it was in relation to the capped lift. This matter has since been addressed. I think the person who did authorize is no longer with USASA. But however, going forward, we are managing this area quite tightly. Internal controls have been strengthened to make sure that we avoid running into fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There were issues that were previously raised by the committee, and we thought we must also address these issues before we can go into the projects that will be implemented in the coming financial year. The first issue was around the skills, whether USASA has got the necessary skills to perform. It's a matter that is currently receiving attention, Chair. There's a skills audit underway. And of course, the report will be shared with this committee in terms of what sort of skills is currently existing in USASA and what sort of skill is required to be able to drive the mandate of USASA. Why are there more managers than operational personnel is an issue that is also being addressed. I think the process of USASA
is it true that we've got more managers than
Yes, Chair, indeed there is that reality that we are sitting with, Chair, and I think the process of the skills audit and the reposition of USASA will then be able to assist us to deal with this issue. I think Mr. Piru also spoke about the repositioning of USASA going forward, which will then, of course, clarify the roles of other important entities such as MDDA and so on. And, of course, there was an issue raised about the partnership between USASA and SAPO regarding the delivery of a USASA project. This process is currently underway, wherein the South African Post Office will be a key player, more especially in the distribution of subsidies of set-top boxes. I think I'll pause there, Chair. Salam.
Thank you, Chair. I will quickly go through the key projects that USASA has identified for the coming financial year. The slide that we're showing that the role of USASA as a focus on universal service and access, we see it as still relevant amongst the other partners in the sector. Our approach, Chair, has been to try as much as we can to align USASA's programs to the ministers' associated delivery agreements and also to the key focus areas of the department itself, taking into consideration that we will have to partner with other entities within the industry. The first key program that we will be focusing on is the deployment of the access centers, the public ICT access centers. We have a target of 100 to be deployed in the coming financial year. We see that as one of the contributions that USASA can have on the job creation. With the 100 access centers that we will deploy, there will be a minimum of 100 entrepreneurs that will be running those centers. There is a possibility of more people being employed, as the center may not run effectively with one person, but we're committing to a minimum of 100 people that could be employed. And we're also looking at collaborating with eSkills to ensure that the existing centers are converted into the e-centers that will be able to facilitate the implementation of the e-skills. And also to assist those centers to be better operational and sustainable, we're looking at training a minimum of 2 people for each center. That will translate to 200 people that will be trained from those centers to be able to operate and run those centers effectively. The second area, Chair, that we'll focus on will be on connectivity of schools and FETs. This is aligned to the connectivity program that the Department of Communication will be embarking on. Our contribution as the SASA will be connecting 18 FET colleges and 200 schools based on the budget that we have currently. The next area, Chair, that we'll be focusing on is the broadband. Based on the budget availability, we will be able to subsidize connectivity to 2 underserviced areas. The figure has been informed by our experience looking at the cost of rolling out broadband to the underserviced areas. In this case, we're looking at an underserviced area as a local municipality. We are committing to connect 2 underserviced areas, and of course, we will be working closely with other partners within the sector. We are not looking at USASA paying the full capital cost for the rollout. We're looking at more subsidies. This will also be aligned to the program, the broadband program that the Department of Communication will be implementing. Another area we'll focus on, Chair, will be to finalize the implementation of the definitions. If I may take one step back, we had a process where USASA defined the underserviced areas and a recommendation was submitted to the then minister and it was gazetted. But the last portion that needs to be completed now is whereby ICASA will be able to declare those underserviced areas based on the recommendation that USASA gave. We are looking at working closely with ICASA in that regard to make sure that that is finalized. And also, the finalization of the universal service and access strategy, that will include the fund manual as to how do we access the fund and the processes that will be followed, including the timeline. We're hoping that document will be completed in the next financial year and it will be able to be used by the industry so that it facilitates the process of applications as well. So the next slide is just a summary of the spending plans that we as USASA have on our business plan. We're hoping on the e-connectivity project that most of the spending will start on quarter 2 and quarter 3 and go forward. Quarter 1 being finalizing all the agreements that we will have to sign with the relevant stakeholders like the Department of Basic Education. The same on the next project on the manual and the strategy.
we are expecting the major expenditure being on quarter three, looking at the internal processes that we will have to follow. The process of deployment of the access centers, we are hoping to be able to appoint a service provider within quarter one, then quarter two and quarter three being the rollout period, and then quarter four we use it for planning for the following financial year. Another area, Chair, that we will be focusing on as you said, I think it was mentioned earlier on, the subsidies for set-up boxes, which is one of the big projects that we are looking at embarking on. We have already engaged the post office, it was mentioned earlier on, to be the entity that will be managing the disbursement of those subsidies. We're looking at a possible system that we can use. We are hoping that in quarter one and quarter two, that system will be tested and the process of the pre-application be tested, where people will be able to apply and see if they qualify. We're hoping that on quarter three and quarter four is where the major subsidies will be paid. For the broadband project, we're hoping that by quarter two, a service provider will have been appointed, and the rollout starting on quarter three. The reason being, the process of appointing service providers for broadband is quite long. They have to see the area, they have to make assessment, they have to make proposals, and through applications, then they have to be assessed and appointment to make. I will pause there, Chair, for the acting CFO just to take us through briefly on the budget summary. Thank you.
Acting CFO, through just that, a summary. I don't have to go through the figures. Members had this document. They went through the figures. They'll be able to ask.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson and honorable members, I will just go through the summary as indicated by the Chairperson. The total budget for USAF project is 273 million. I'll only focus on the 2012-13 financial year, even though the MTEF period has been indicated on the slide. The most significant items on the budget is the STB subsidies, which is about 84% of the budget. And the other projects that have been mentioned make about 15%, that is about 44 million. Of the entire budget. Moving on to the USASA budget, the total for the 2012-13 financial year is about 69.8 million, and the most significant item of the budget is salaries and wages, which makes up about 57% of the budget. The other significant items that would be about 6 to 8% of the budget are lease payments, which are rentals for buildings. We have offices in all provinces, and that makes up about 4.9 million. Other items are travel and subsistence, which is about 7.5% of the budget, which comes to an amount of 4.5 million. And also CAPEX, which is about 6% of the budget, an amount of about 3.6 million. I think I'll pause there.
Honorable Chairperson, that concludes our presentation this afternoon. Thank you.
Members, Honorable Ver, Trochen, Stein, Sheen, Rebe, Schneemann, Trochen,
thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah. Thank you for your presentation. Slide 9.
200 schools on internet. Previously this morning, obviously you heard about by the DOC that they're also connecting schools up. I'm at 1,600 for this financial year. So that, I mean, now that the DOC is already planning for 1,600, is this inclusive of that amount, that amount, or is this now separate? Okay, that's the first question. Secondly, subsidized set-up boxes, yeah. 469,387 set-up boxes. So we have 50 million South Africans, around about 50 million people in our country. And there's quite a big number that need these set-up boxes. So I just want to know, is this just once-off amount? Is it just a once-off amount that's been made, or is there going to be more that is going to be made? Because obviously this is too little if you compare it to the amount of population that that's in our country. And then thirdly, over the years, we've heard about the NPCCs. We've heard about the various hubs, and now I hear about that there's 100 community access centers. So more centers being built. So we have these NPCCs, we have these hubs. So where does this new center fit in all of those things? So, yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. May I just, by way of introduction, just ask whether there are any members of the previous board executive present here. I think all the board members have been let go. I'm not sure if any of the...
At the request of this committee.
Yeah. But, Chair, I just want to find out, are there any of the previous executive members here today? Or are they all new? In a sort of a caretaker position, because then they will have to forgive me if I'm going to be a little bit ruthless. And you may, I may be directing my comments at the wrong people. Chair, the what I'd like to know, obviously we're not privy to what has happened in the past, and mention was made of a report. I'm hoping that if that report hasn't been given to the committee yet, that it will be provided, that forensic investigations report that was completed in December 2011, that we will have access to that report. But having said that, Chairperson, I'm just going through the presentation first. A number of disciplinary hearings that involve very senior staff. We're getting a presentation here today, but we're not really getting the information in terms of what is the progress, what is the status. Are you expecting people, are they, for example, suspended on full pay? That type of information, I think we need to know that. Then what I find great difficulty with, and if you look at your, perhaps you should get the slides on the screen there, and I'm on page 4, slide number 4. That one, yes. Right at the bottom, Chair, there will be huge underspending due to the fact of internal control measures had to be put in place. As a committee member, I cannot accept that there will be underspending because they are busy putting control measures in place. It is simply unacceptable. What you're actually telling us is that you're putting these control measures in place and therefore no service delivery is going to take place. Now, we obviously have to find a way whereby service delivery takes place, and it takes place in an environment where the money is spent efficiently. Also, having said that, Chairperson, I just need to go back a little bit. My understanding is that this entity has been in existence since at least 2007. Do we therefore have to make the assumption or understand that none of these processes have ever been in place since 2007? And is that perhaps the reason for all the things that have gone wrong, and that's why there's so many disciplinary hearings? It also links on, if we go on to the next slide, to the question about tender committees are being put in place. I mean, what has happened in the past? And it's a pity that, I don't know if there are members from the Department of Communications here, because once again,
that talks to their oversight over one of their entities. That it sounds like it was a free-for-all.
Anwar does a double barrel, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, Chairperson, I have to ask the department. If there wasn't a tender committee since 2007, what did the department do about that? Or was there one and they weren't really doing their work? But I'm getting from the presentation, I'm getting the impression that they're only establishing tender committees now. Then, the next slide there, please. A person who authorized no longer with USASA, condonement will be sought. That is simply unacceptable, Chairperson. Surely, even if that individual is resigned, was fired, whatever, there is a process whereby we can continue the prosecution, certainly if there is evidence of wrongdoing, and try and recover whatever money we can. We shouldn't simply say, well, you know what, it's been done, it's passed, and in fact the person probably leaves with a bit of a golden handshake as well. I don't think that we can condone that. We need to exhaust all avenues to see what we can recover before that should even be entertained. Then just on the next page there, Chairperson, and it refers to your partnership with the South African Post Office, I'm not quite sure exactly what the Post Office is going to be doing. Are they going to be responsible for people to do the application for the subsidy? But once that has been done, what is going to happen? Will they go and collect their top set box from the post office? Are they going to get some sort of a voucher to go to a manufacturer and produce this voucher then and get the top set box? I don't really understand what your memorandum of understanding with the post office is all about. And in the same vein then, and it's in one of your latest slides, you're going to take the first two quarters just to do the assessments and to do the applications. And then only in the third and fourth quarter you've indicated sums of money in terms of the actual subsidies being paid out. And while I'm talking about that, Chairperson, it says 110 million third quarter, 110 million fourth quarter. Your subsidy is 220 million. Your subsidy is 230 million, but you're showing us expenditure for 220 million. Now, in view of what you said and what has gone wrong, I can't help but ask, where's the other 10 million going to go to? Chair, and perhaps it's just the choice of words, but on slide 8, deploy 100 community access centers. I don't quite know what that means. Does it mean it's going to be established? It's going to be
built? It's got nothing to do with that deployment.
Well, that I don't know, Chairperson. It seems like now we also deploy actual buildings. So just some. I know it's probably just a choice of words, but I don't understand what you mean. Then you talk about convert existing ICT centers. I think we'd like to know at least how many. This is your threat plan. This is what you're going to be doing for the next year. In order for us to be able to exercise oversight, we need to know, is it 5 existing ICT centers? Is it 100? I'd like to know how many, and certainly later on in the year, I'd like to know where they are. Then my colleague covered the question about the schools, the connecting of schools. Is this a completely separate project? Is it linked to the other 1,600 or 1,650, I think it was? Your underserviced municipalities. You know, again, it links to my earlier question. We need to know, have they been identified? At this point, is it purely a target that you will be looking for 2 underserviced municipalities, or do you know who they are? And you know, obviously, maybe not today, but what is going to be the criteria to identify that it's an underserviced municipality in terms of broadband? Chair, on page 11, again, perhaps it's just a wording that needs to be explained or a mistake there, but it says monitor and evaluate the implementation of the definitions targets quarterly. I don't know what that means. What is a definitions target? Is it, I don't know, is it supposed to be the identified targets perhaps? But if you could just, you know, it's, I'm totally in the dark there. Then I'm going on to the finances, Chair, the spending plans. It's on page 12 or slide number 12. Just in terms of the broadband subsidies, which, by the way, we again, I'm not sure what it is. you're talking about a subsidy. I mean, are you going to actually roll out the broadband? Are you going to be giving a municipality, for example, a subsidy to do that? Just some clarity. But in relation to that, you talk about assessments the first quarter, appoint a service provider the second quarter, and then it looks like you're going to spend the entire budget in the third quarter. I mean, I can't help but ask, are you going to have the capacity to then spend the entire budget in the third quarter? Chair, I'm almost at the end. I may just have a few questions on the actual plan. If I can just look at my notes here. Page, and I'm going to skip some of them just to give the other members an opportunity as well. Page 18, 21, 23. Won't be much longer, Chair. Yeah, one of my questions in terms of, I'm now referring to the strat plan, and not the presentation. Some of the stats that's being used here, Chairperson, appears to be 2005, 2007. I would imagine that we've got something more updated. I mean, we're in 2012. I would imagine there's at least something. I picked up something on the from some index, the Digital Opportunity Index for 2010. So I am concerned if you're not using the latest information in terms of working out your strat plans or your business plans. Then, last one, Chairperson. Although I see I've got lots of things highlighted here. You talk about, on page 32 of the strat plan, ever-changing one of your inhibitors, your negative inhibitors, is that the ever-changing technology is overtaking current programs. You, in the business of ICT, you should know that 6 months in this business is a relatively short time in terms of technology. And you should be planning for technology changes. These things don't sort of, although it happens overnight, the planning of it and the research and so on has been going on for quite some time, so people know that something is coming. And we should, again, to use my words that I used with the DOC earlier, one should try and be a little bit more proactive. I'm going to use some of the others. I think some people mentioned earlier, you know, the ICT is not recognized by government as a vehicle for poverty alleviation. I find that very strange. I think it's very clear that government has identified ICT as a vehicle for poverty alleviation and lifting people out of their poverty. Now, if this is an entity that's responsible for this, can sit here and tell us that government doesn't recognize it, then there's something wrong between the communication or your understanding of your mandate. I think I'm going to stop and give other people, except to say on page 34, the agency risk profile, I mean, that is very serious, Chairperson. I mean, all those risks that have been identified. And again, we're not really being told what is being done to mitigate these risks. But a lack of a fraud prevention plan, is that not, doesn't the PFMA and Treasury actually require that a fraud prevention plan be in place? No disaster recovery plan. You're working with ICT, you're working with information, and you don't have a disaster recovery plan. No quality and quantity checks made of goods and services. Chair, I'm actually at the end of all this. I'm at a loss for words a little bit in terms of what I see. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Shin. Thank you, Chair. Yes, one sort of wonders what, if anything, this organisation has achieved in its entire lifetime, because there doesn't really seem to be much to commend it, apart from the bank balances perhaps of the people who have now departed or are in the process of being pushed out the door or whatever is going to happen with their disciplinary hearings. Which brings me to this question of the CEO who has now settled for a 7 months exit parachute instead of a 15 months exit parachute. This is something that's endemic in government, is that you can really hash up in your job. You can threaten to stretch out a disciplinary hearing forever, and just to ease the pain on both sides, agreed to leave with an unblemished CV and an awful lot of money in the pocket. Surely this kind of culture in government has to stop. I don't know how much the 7 months is, but presumably it's enough to keep him in Johnny Walker and keep his BMW on the road for a while. You know, one actually sort of thinks that people now who actually do not perform well in their jobs should be disciplined or fired and then leave with, you know, their 1 month notice pay, as the rest of the commercial world has to do. There's constant sort of pandering to make it a soft landing for someone who's actually done what would seem like nothing for an awful long time. And then, you know, gets a nice soft landing and a clear CV. This has got to stop. People have got to be accountable and be financially penalized for not performing. I mean, it really is unacceptable. This isn't a, you know, this is a government that has to deliver. It's not a shelter for the unemployable. So I'd like some more detail on that. And then just briefly, you know, we've had this comment that ISASA's mandate is found wanting and needs reprioritization. And the policy review will have to be taken into account on what's to become of ISASA. And one looks through some of the short-term strategies here. And I'm looking just randomly at page 51 under the shared support services. Now, if we have a look at what they're going to be doing between now and 2017, organizational development program intervention review. That's the sort of, you know, this was just a cut-and-paste job on, you know, this is what they're going to be doing for the next 10 years. You know, that is inadequate for actually understanding whether this organization actually has a job to do and how it's going to do it. And then I would sort of almost suggest that we sort of suspend operations on this organization until we've actually decided what this organization is going to do and how it's going to do it, pending all this review of the mandate and the policies. And, you know, I mean, why keep it going if every single strategic objective is a high-risk objective and they have no strategies, no people in place to actually make any of this happen? It really is a really sort of marginal organization that seems to serve no purpose and at this stage. And I actually think that it needs to really be reviewed. Obviously, there's a lot of questions I'd like to ask, which has asked a lot of them. There's going to be lots more, so I'll leave it at that. Time runs out.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I won't be tempted to do what the Honourable was saying. Firstly, Chair, let me welcome the intervention by the Minister in his papa. It was long overdue, Chairperson, to be honest. I think as a committee, we must give them time and space to deal with some of the issues. Because, Chair, if you really look into the strat plan of ISASA, it's not impressive. It's very weak. There are common names there. Either it's none, it's absence, it's lack, it's not satisfactory. Those words are common. So just going through those words, it tells you that really ISASA has been a very sick organization, worse than SABC, in fact. So I don't want to be tempted to deal with some of the issues. That's because I think we must give you time and space to deal with some of these issues, because it's not of your making that the structural is in the situation that it is in. But Chair, just a few issues. Those are straight to the point. In terms of this, I think it's 6 or 7 for the executives who has been suspended, some resigned, blah, blah. Those who are suspended, is their suspension missed salary? If you have mentioned that, maybe I didn't get it. And maybe if you can just take us through, maybe we need in writing from their progress thus far since you have been there. And if I've listened correctly to the CFO, he did mention, or whoever's representative was presenting, that you had to stop some of the transactions when you get in. I just want to say on that. If that is the case, how did it affect the existing project in terms of payments, the 32 days payments and other projects? The other thing you mentioned, Sasa,
is in regard to the possible amendment of the ACA to clarify its mandate. I agree in terms of the future of USASA going forward. But clarity, what is it not clear there now? Maybe if you can just take us through, because we must also, at the end of the day, we'll be the ones responsible to deal with those issues. And in terms of connecting schools, in the presentation you were saying 18 FET colleges plus 200 schools, but going to your track 10, if you can just assist me, I think it's in page 43, if I'm not, yeah, 43. It refers to 28 FET colleges. Maybe I didn't hear you, but here you said 18, in the track 10 it's saying 28. On the issue of set-top boxes, Chair, this area is an area of my concern and focus, because I'm from the most rural areas of Northwest. And the people who voted for me to be here partly or mostly come from those rural areas. So this I'm always concerned. But in our constituency, they ask us questions about the set-top boxes, the awareness, the process, they're not even aware. When that time comes or you're already there, because I saw it somewhere in this track time, it's like you're already there. If you can just take us through where you are now. So the other thing on page 40 is regarding the 500 jobs created through relevant USASA projects. If you can just break that, I think you were here when DOC was presenting. You have shared a sentiment that chairperson, the mood that chairperson will go. If you can just also take us through with those 500 jobs created. I think, Chair, for now, I think it will be the very last one. Again, on your strategy, Chair, there are a lot of, some of these things you might not even respond now, but there are a lot of blank spaces on your template. If you can just make us to understand those empty spaces, especially for 2008-2011, if there are blank spaces, you have to understand why are they there if there was no need for you to put information there. Maybe you should have just decided to leave it out. But once it's inside the presentation, that means something was supposed to be there, whatever it is, I don't know. I think, Chair, that will be that from my side. But in a note that says, let us give the task team time and space as the committee to deal with the issues, because really what is presented before us here is not impressive. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I have been covered by most of the previous speakers. What I did want to say is that, I mean, right at the outset of the presentation, be very clear that there's a lot of attention and a lot of focus needed, and that came out very clearly. And I guess possibly that is having an impact on its operations and the work that it's actually doing. I must be honest, I found the presentation rather short. But I guess, yeah. And I think I've been, the Honourable Shinnelstein referred to page 34 and the risk profile, and that's one of the things that I noticed, and I imagine that has a serious impact on their operations. So I'm not going to repeat what everybody's repeated, but I just wanted to say, just in terms of your strat plan, you know, your quarterly targets, etc., even those are not clearly spelled out. So I'll give you one example. On page 17, page 17, your pages are differently numbered, but on the pink section there's a pink paper in your strat plan. It takes us to the annual performance plan, should I say. And on page 17, you have internet connectivity to 200 schools, but then on your quarterly program you don't tell us how many, a quarter. It just says the schools to be subsidized, identified, connectivity rolled up, commenced in line with established SLA. So we don't actually get the actual targets per quarter, which then makes this very difficult for us to try and assess. But I think that there is a need for us to get a bit of a better understanding as to whether the SASA in its current form, currently now, as you sit here, even the work that you're planning, do you have the capacity to actually carry that out? Because based on your introduction, some of the things that have been raised, one then has to ask the question whether the capacity is there and whether we're actually going to achieve all that's been raised. Chair, I want to make a proposal, if I may. That's all I wanted to say, but I wanted to make a proposal, if I may. Given the time and given, unfortunately, the dwindling numbers in the committee, I wanted to propose that perhaps justice would be done if we had to ask ISASA to respond to us in writing with the questions we've raised. That's just a proposal I wanted to make. Given an opportunity as well to go and look at some of these things that we have raised and to come back to us in writing. That's a proposal I'd like to make. Thank you.
Thanks very much, member. Yusuf, I've got only one question to ask you. Do you think in the current form, the strategic plan which is before us, because I'm trying to move towards what Honorable Eshniman is raising, because I think the earlier discussion of DOC indirectly or directly impacts into you in terms of how do you shape your strategic plan moving forward. If that is the case, I don't want you to try to respond to issues now. If we agree that the earlier discussion has impact on you, on a strategic plan and so on, so that we move towards that. Members have raised various things and so on, which you can respond in that. But I just wanted to get it from you, because if that is the case, you might not have to respond on all the questions, probably go the route proposed by Honorable Schneeman, that they can get their response in return. But all what we want to say, we want to just to have a focus on certain things, specific, break it down. You know, it's just that we don't have time, but you see that one of the problems which we have when we talk about this project access, maybe talk with the access, the public access point and the other thing, is that we seem not to be having the entire project on the other side. Where does this thing fit into? So you put the public access, then that's the end of it, then it, because we have not conceptualized the other things which must be linked into it, so that it is sustainable, the entire program moving forward and so on. But caretaker?
Chair, it's very difficult to be a caretaker, Chair. You know, when you're a caretaker, Chair, you are even careful whether the people you are caretaking can't revolt against you, you know? But, Chair, thanks. I think, Chair, there's been a number of points made here. In fact, very important inputs, which, Chair, by and large, I mean, my opening remarks actually do give that sense that USASA needs time to rebuild. Chair, this includes the fact that at the structural level, you need capacity. You see, most of the projects of USASA resides in a division that is seriously understaffed. It could be, in my view, understaffed in a sense that you can't have such huge projects with serious spending and you don't have sufficient people to run around. And these projects are actually happening nationally. There are, of course, provincial managers out there, but it's clearly not enough, Chair. So, I mean, the suggestion, Chair, that we come back to you in writing to relook into some of the issues you have proposed, that we look at, sharpen some of them. Chair, I think it's a viable proposal, but I think the current existing capacity, Chair, there are projects that can be continued with. I would, Chair, not agree with the suggestion that you suspend the existing operations that are there so that you get at the review. I mean, if you look at the cooperation that USASA has with DOC, with departments and provinces, I mean, there's a lot that needs to be done, and I think the issue is to streamline those things to make sure that they can happen in a manner that is actually proper. You see, sometimes you find that you can go and wanting to do all of these things, and then you outsource everything, and you're not able to account. I think that's the biggest crux of what we're dealing with. So I would say that, Chairperson, there is, you know, a capacity, but surely you want to refocus the organization to achieve. It's very clear that the demand out there for USASA to come on board is very huge. This, for instance, we understand the need at Northwest to connect schools, very serious numbers being spoken to there. Chair, Limpopo has signed about 1,300 in agreement to connect those schools, and there's expectation that we need to facilitate and work, streamline our work even with the department. So, Chair, I would second that we will be given time to come back. But definitely, I think I agree with Honorable Tseb. This organization is sick. Thank you.
Thanks very much, members. With that, I can. We're still trying to organize the oversight we're going to from Sunday. On the document which is submitted to us by USASA, when you practically talk to the project, they've collapsed, but they are still active on the document. So that is clear a problem in terms of the sustainability of the program and so on. So, but that is not what we are here for. We'll come back to those issues. But so we agree that you must. But my worry is also the allocation. Even if you go back and rework, look, 9 million, 16 million on broadband, what's that? In reality, if you know, you understand broadband, and I saw 9 million somewhere else, what are you going to do with 9 million practically? To me, the allocation is not realistic. The 9 million, 16, what exactly do you do in the ICT with 9 million and so on? You can't. Probably we must move towards to say, this is what we have. Let us spend it qualitatively. Let us only do one thing, if we can only do one thing, but in a manner which is going to have an impact. And trying to do many things, but the impact is very, and it caused problems for some of the things collapses as well. So if you can look at the amounts, I don't know whether you can still move funds and so on, so that when you come back and present the budget and the strike plan, after we have went through it, it does not make sense to me practically. 9 million on what you are saying you are going to do, 16 million broadband, telecom and MTN, they can tell you here. That is just the preparatory money when you still just level the playing field through something, not to do something and the other thing. But I take it, caretaker, that it's an issue of the joint venture with others and so on. But you see, we can't go to a joint venture as government on our knees. Because I think that's where the problem is. If we're going on our knees, that financially we don't have, you go there on your knees to those other ones and so on, I think it also compromises the intent which you want to achieve as an agent and so on. But I know there's limited money and other things. So members, we agree that in the line of the earlier discussion, they have to go and relook so that when they come with a measurable achievements per quarter, although we'll already be on the first quarter, measurable achievements which you can be able to follow through, and the numbers in terms of what you say you want to do. But thanks very much, caretaker and your team. Mr. Piri. But it's you return caretaker. But one thing for sure, caretaker and your team, we want finality in terms of the cases. So we think that chapter must be closed, the finality on the issue of the cases. They can't be ongoing. And that's where sometimes we are at loggerheads with ourselves. Because you will settle on those cases, then we'll be on to you. Why do you settle for people doing the wrong thing? You don't say they continue to earn, we're on to you, why are you paying people sitting at home? So you have to strike a balance there.
Exactly. I appeal also to members to understand the dilemma sometimes which you face. If you certainly were on to you, why are you settling? Are you giving a golden handshake? That's what we are going to ask you. If you don't and want the process to continue, some of this process will continue for 3 years, 4 years, then we'll ask you, why are you paying people sitting at home? Because that also drains your financial resources. I think at one point you must strike the balance there and do what is best for the organization so that it's able to be free to do its work and so on. Otherwise, thanks very much. We'll advise you on a date when we come back and so on from research. Members, thanks very much. I promise you that we'll be out at 1 hour, quarter past one. My apology with the 10 minutes more into your time so that we end this detention, as Honorable Stein called it. See you Sunday, members, on the oversight. We've invited all the public, the other stakeholders on the oversight, the telecoms and the, so on. So we hope we'll see them there explaining to the, our people why they are not having telecom lines wherever they are. So we hope to be with them on the oversight, and MTN must explain why there's no MTN network in those areas. And Neotel must also respond why they are not there in those areas and so on and so on and so on. The list goes on in terms of your responsibility. Thanks very much. Enjoy your weekend. Until we meet next time.